Let's not take a fucking minute. Let's go again!
Welcome to Costco. I love you. Ah, crap.
Impressive.
Go shut me up!
Hi, Jinx and Sue Podcast, episode number 44. We are done professionally. This week on Hijinks and Sue Podcast, despite being down a man and an hour late getting started with the live stream, my bad, we're going to talk about Olympic pole dancing.
What? Yeah?
Yeah. Potential copyright infringement on the infamous Obama logo designed by Shepard Fairey. Klingon convenience store robbers. We're going to talk about Obama and Marvel Comics again. Things have changed. How many Batman movies does Warner want to make? Dollhouse is advertising. Caprica on DVD before it's on TV. All kinds of stuff. Then we'll get to the mail sack where we'll answer your questions. And in the post show, for those subscribed or donating this month to vault.hijinksandsue.com, we will talk about either 50 plus movie remakes that are currently in the works in some stage or another, and or the top 10 celebrity meltdowns, including my delicious man crush, Christian Bale.
Give me a fucking answer!
Today, I'm down over there.
Today in the studio, myself, Joel, from hijinksandsue.com.
No!
What?
I don't know, it's all in.
Give me the second no. There's two no's.
No!
There we go. That's the better one. Eli! And Denise.
For fuck's sake.
Thanks, Christian.
Josh is gone. So.
Give me a fucking answer!
He's dead to me.
Josh is gone. That's what we said, Christian.
Subbing.
Off the fucking set,
dude, he's gone. He's not here. He can't go off the set.
Subbing for Josh is Christian Bale on the set of Terminator 4.
Oh, good!
That poor guy. He's under so much stress.
Oh, God, whatever.
So, oh, you know what? Oh, damn it. You know what I forgot?
We're not recording somewhere.
No, we're recording all over the place. I forgot that I had this whole other list of stuff I was supposed to add to the topics.
Oosh.
You do it one more fucking time, and I ain't walking on this set if you're still hired.
That is very unprofessional, Joel. He does have a point.
We are done professionally. I forgot to mention that I have to... We need to talk about Lost because Denise wanted to at the ass end of last week's show, and we didn't get to.
What? Oh.
At the end of the show, it was over. Thanks for coming, everybody. Thanks for hanging out. If you're listening, but can we talk about Lost? No, it's over. Can we talk about Lost?
I don't think Denise talks like that anymore. She's like, "Hey, what the fuck?"
I'm like, "Oh, pardon me, so sorry."
Hey, it's
are
racist.
We gonna talk about the Rost? And I'm like, "What's Rost?"
That.
What is this? Is it that guy from Friends?
That's not allowed.
Rost?
That's not legal.
Oh, Rastafarian. I didn't know that her people were that way.
Yeah, whatever.
Matter of fact, while we're being racist, I'm going to go ahead and add that to the topics. Topic, Lost. There it is. L-O-S-T. And then, do you guys, I know you went to see The Killers this last night or night before last. Do you want to talk about that?
It was awesome is what it was. It was so great. It's so much fun.
It's good.
It's just as good as the last time I
good
saw it.
Good review.
Him. Yeah. Fantastic.
Wait, I have a story from that.
Okay.
Because I'm I can't say I'm like a huge Killer fan like Denise and her sister. And
ooh, shout
Lisa.
Out to Nikki.
Are we human? Who are we dancer?
But it was awesome. It was a high energy show. So
the sign is vital.
Really good. But the part of what almost stole the show was. Mm-hmm. The stinky woman two rows ahead of us.
Oh, God.
I made it.
How are you able to localize her stink coordinates from two rows back?
Okay, well, this is basically what it was. So we were, like, upper deck. Not highest deck, but, like, mid deck, I guess.
Okay. We're at the Nokia?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
did you actually go to the wrong venue?
No,
I was driving, and I don't know how to get anywhere. So I was like, okay, just somebody tell me how to get there.
You're the one being racist now. I think Asian women can drive.
No, I was talking about me.
Go ahead.
Anyway, so I was like, no, I can't. I don't know how to get anywhere. So somebody tell me how and I'll drive. And they're like, okay, okay, blah, blah, blah. So I thought we all knew where we were going. But then Eli's like, okay, turn here, exit here. I'm like, this isn't the Nokia. And he's like, we're going to the Nokia? I thought you said American Airlines. I'm like, I never said American Airlines.
It's awesome how they print the venue on
Nokia.
The tickets.
Well, I had never seen the tickets. And like, I mean...
Well, because I ordered them for everybody so we would be able to get into all the same
seats. Again,
this
was a huge deal for them, and I really enjoyed it. But, like, I mean, it's not like...
He wasn't really paying attention.
Killers,
he was like, yeah, I'll go, whatever.
Killers for her is like Wilco for me. So
oh, okay.
If
well,
we were
not
there,
that big of a...
No, it was.
Yeah.
But, no, all we did was get off 35, and then I was like, oh, okay, well, then just get back on 35, and we'll keep going south.
Yeah, it wasn't a big deal. I think Nikki started hyperventilating for a second.
Yeah.
I was like, well, just
get... Brendan Flowers isn't going to make love to me.
I was like, just get back on the express lane. He's like, oh. It was kind of like one of those, it's actually right there. And then you're like, oh, okay.
Oh, right.
But, no, so...
No, that's fine.
We got there, and, like, two rows ahead of us, we got there right after the opening act had already done
their
thing.
It was perfect timing.
Who opened?
They're called
M83.
You know what?
I don't know.
When you just name your band, the two letters and a number or whatever, that's you're asking for obscurity.
Yeah.
But
whatever, you know. We missed them, but whatever. So we got there, and then, like, maybe, like, 4 minutes after we got there, lights went down and the show started.
That's pretty good timing.
It was awesome timing.
Well, because they had already bought shirts, and you know, we did our mingling in the
with the band earlier.
We're like, "Hey, what's up, bros? You want to hit it?"
And they're like, "Who are we human? Who are we dancing?"
And then you're like, "Do you always talk like that?"
I certainly do. My name is Brandon.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm gonna go get a beer. Can you get me one?
Yeah.
I'm in the Killers.
Oh, damn it, Joel.
But yeah. So,
no, yeah, but it was awesome.
Yeah,
and
we got there. We're show's about to start. So we're like, sweet. Good timing.
Good time.
And, you know, they start jamming. They started off with that song, didn't they?
With the new single?
No, I think they started out with Spaceman.
Spaceman. Oh, that's right.
Maybe.
Hurrah with Spaceman!
Which is pretty rocking. But anyway,
Spaceman's
so
vital.
We're sitting there, and everybody immediately stands up. And in front of us, they were... probably some unfilled seats.
Okay.
What, like three of them? And then to the far left was a mom and pop, and to the far right was boyfriend, girlfriend. Like, okay, you can go to the show only if we go with you. We're
right.
Over to the side.
Hey, at least they're letting them go.
Hey,
I wasn't given that option.
You know what?
Kid.
I thought it was kind of cool because they gave them their distance. Because
you know what I would do? I would buy tickets. I would buy two for the kids, and then I'd wait about 30 seconds and then buy two more so that they'd be like three rows back or something.
Yeah.
That's a cool parent. That's what I'll do.
Well, so,
No!
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Christian. that's not what he would do, apparently.
Is he getting in levels in his headphones? Or can you hear us?
It's fucking distracting!
Okay, dude.
Well,
really
we play them. I mean, you just have to roll with it.
I hope it was fucking good because it's useless
okay,
now, isn't it?
All right.
It?
Calm down, bro.
We're moving on.
Calm down, bro.
So they got that in front of us, and then the row in front of that are like two blonde chicks and some dude, like, kind of preppy douchey, sitting, and then,
isn't that a hair care product?
Yeah.
Preppy douchey?
Yeah. I think it's part of the Cooter line.
The
Justin
Cooter.
Simpson.
Good callback.
So, well, yeah, it's
preppy
part of...
Preppy douchey.
It's...
Never mind.
Man,
keep
have
going.
Have you seen the size of that cow?
Keep going. Yeah, she's got mom jeans.
So anyway, yeah, so preppy douchey and the blonde chicks. And then there was like biker dude and biker chick.
Okay.
And they were...
It was a really weird crowd.
It always shocks me to see who's at a concert. Because you got to go, okay, did this guy get free tickets and had nothing better to do?
Right.
Or does he really like this band?
And this one was especially weird because I guess they've gotten even more popular since the last we saw them.
Sure.
We saw them at the Sam's Town tour and it was just typical
crowd. I see London.
Yeah, but that was an okay crowd, and it wasn't all the way filled up when we saw that one. But this show, it was a lot of kind of Dallasite, teeny bopper, hipster, whatever. It was a little more annoying than the last time we went, but it was alright.
This was the first time,
except for that chick.
So wait, who stunk?
This is the first time. This is the first time I had seen it, so I didn't know really what to expect. But yeah, so the chick that's two rows ahead of us, as soon as the lights go off, you can see her silhouette stand up, and she starts doing like a lane dance.
She was really
like her arms
strange.
Were flailing around. Wow. The biker chick, and it was like,
and she did that little, I don't know, I guess I don't know what kind of dance it was, but she would do the
lane
like
dance.
The whatever. I'm like, stop.
Oh,
doing
like
that.
The 40s, that's, you know, like the 40s scooting, you know. Yeah, you know.
It was really bizarre.
Scooting,
like the Charleston.
Yeah.
Charleston, oh, Charleston,
no,
go to
no.
see the killers.
Basically, yeah. She was.
No, it was more like she was trying to act out the songs. So whenever it would be like, you
she
know.
She was trying to interpret it.
Did she think it was a Jonathan Colton concert?
No, she was
oh,
trying
yes.
to interpret
it
for the
bizarre.
Deaf that were behind
oh.
us. So she wanted to make sure the deaf people behind
the
us
old
understood.
People.
She's doing cheering, like,
yeah.
so, spirit leading.
So, like, okay, so we're, the, you know, that it's entertaining for quite a while. Cause
yeah,
she's
kind of funny because
she's
dancing.
Obviously hammered.
She's
but is
like,
she blocking your view?
No.
No,
that's what always happens
she's
to me.
She's two rows down, and it's leveled pretty well. Like it.
Oh, yeah, you can't get a bad seat in the
no,
Nokia.
It's,
that's right.
It's really a great venue, actually. Ugh.
Yeah, so, like, she starts doing her lane dance, and, like, all of us kind of pointing to it at each other. We're like, dude, check out the biker chick. She's funny. So, you know, a couple songs go by, and, like, the couple, the older parents in front of us sit down, and then I kind of, like, not sit down, but you lean on the back of the seat while it's still up,
mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
you're not actually
yeah,
sitting all the way down. So once I got to a lower elevation, I immediately am like,
oh,
what
no.
the fuck was that? Did, like, a fucking... an onion truck just collide into like a sewage dump and then
the
like
manure truck
and then like some perfume came whisking by because it's a big fucking
oh,
disaster.
Oh, onions. Oh, sewage.
It was fucking gross. And then the parents that were in front of me kind of kept looking at each other like, and then they reach over to the girlfriend and they're like saying shit. And then she grabs a bottle out of her purse and sprays perfume all in the area. And I was like, no, you're going to make it worse. Like,
oh.
Now it's just going to like burn my eyes.
The chemicals combine and that ignites the atmosphere.
Yeah, I was afraid that like a spark could set it off. And then later on, there were sparks on the show. And I was like, fuck, we're dead.
Pop rock group The Killers is dead in a tragedy, leaving 6,000 wounded at the Nokia Theater in Grapevine, Texas.
After a biker woman eats raw sewage and goes to like the concert. It was, I don't know. It was it wasn't so awful. I mean, I felt worse for the parents in front of us because apparently they were getting the big old whiff of it.
They
I just
were,
got like a.
They were not having fun.
I got like a flyby, like when a cat farts and runs by you, and you're like, whoa, what was that?
What kills me about live concerts is you never get out of it for less than $100, and there's always someone ruining it. Like, it's impossible to go see a concert without some crazy, stinky, tall asshole ruining the entire thing.
This one probably was the least problematic concert that I've been to in a long time.
Really?
Yeah. Well, because
the people
in front of us, you know, even though they were an older couple, they were kind of into it, actually. They were kind of
yeah,
like...
they were more into it than
they were kind of dancing.
Stupid
and then
kids.
They played a Kenny Rogers song, which I didn't know the Killers covered Kenny Rogers.
Which one?
I have no idea.
The one, Ruby... I can't remember.
Ruby Kenny
okay.
Rogers. But cool. So they start doing that, and they start like doing the little dancey dance, and I was like, hey man, old couple's into it. And I mean, I don't know, I didn't really, the last time I was at Nokia, I almost got into a fight, so this one went off quite well.
I always like the Nokia venue, actually.
It's just really far, and it's really expensive
and
to park.
Yeah, it's $15 to park.
Yeah,
it's always and like I said, you never get out for less than $100.
It was kind of.
I wanted to fly to the Concords are coming there, and I wanted to go, but tickets are $40.
Yeah,
and by the time it's done, it'll be like $120 for two people to go.
It's probably going
to
go up now because I don't know if you heard the Ticketmaster merge with Live Nation.
Well, that's balls.
Like this past week,
so they're like a complete monopoly now,
pretty much. And tickets are going to cost like $2,000. You know,
here's my plan to fix the economy. How many people go see the average concert? 4,000. Okay, charge $9,000 a ticket. We'll have the national debt paid off in 4 years.
Yep. Do it. So yeah, that
Excelsior.
Happens.
Excellent idea.
That's pretty much it.
Well, that's great. I'm glad you kids had fun.
You're unfucking believable.
It's pretty.
Beautiful.
Shut up, Christian.
A lot of fun.
I'm losing my man crush on you rapidly.
Fuck.
You man crush your wife and your heart sucks.
You're a nice guy.
Okay, well, he made it up to
you. Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. I like you too. I still like you a lot.
I've made a huge mistake.
So, starting off with This Week in Internet. You know, I realized every week when I'm setting up the links for This Week in Internet and then for the Topic Explode segment of the show, they're basically the same thing. I don't know why there's two sections. One of them is short stuff, I guess, and the other one requires more thought. I don't know. So first thing, Josh isn't here, so we can talk about gays. So last week, we talked about the very first gay divorce in Texas was happening here in Dallas. And
right.
And there was a good chance that Josh knew them. No joke. We couldn't figure out who they were. So this week, the a Massachusetts lesbian couple who like fought and like protested and got signatures and like everything for gay marriage in Massachusetts, divorced.
Well, you know, that happens.
No. You're too far from your mic.
Better luck next time.
Get up on your mic, bro.
I don't know why that's a big deal, though.
It's not.
Okay.
It's funny, though, because it is a big deal,
it's
which
socialism.
Makes it funny. It's Obama. It's socialism. It's happening. No, it's just funny that that would be news when, like, you know, 10,000 other couples getting divorced every day isn't news.
I know.
And, like, 2 million people are out of jobs.
They're like, what are they? They don't even deserve marriage because they're throwing it away. So they didn't want it in the first place. At least they had the option. Same option I have.
No, they don't have the same options.
No, I mean, well, they did. Briefly.
Not anymore.
No, they still do in Massachusetts, though, right?
I don't know. Do they?
I think Massachusetts is the only state.
Maybe. Sure. Let's go with that.
Okay, so next thing. Next thing. In bong news. So we all saw Michael Phelps taking a massive hit off a giant
big
bong.
Deal.
You know, the only thing I...
Everybody does it.
I hadn't... honestly, hadn't even gone and looked for the photo because
uh-huh.
I was like, whatever, until this article came out about him losing
Snap, Crackle, Pop.
Yeah.
So the thing is, yeah, Kellogg's, first they announced that all of his sponsors were keeping him, which was like stoners were like, yay, acceptance. And then Kellogg's dropped him. But here's the thing. This guy has, in his short, very short life, has accomplished more physically. And I don't know how else you can rank his achievements other than in physical prowess. I mean, in sportsmanly, I guess, more than most ever will. I mean, in his very short years.
Swam like a fish.
He's mastered an activity.
Karate.
He's a master of karate and friendship, but also of swimming. So, you know, how many people do you know that are an absolute master, the best at what they do? Nobody.
He's like a freak.
I mean, you're awesome at eating Chinese food, but I wouldn't say you're like a master at it. He's like a fish man.
I'm kind of up there.
You're like top five. And Josh is like, you know, for a brief time, he was like one of the 10 best at Guitar Hero or some shit, but not anymore.
Deleted!
Yeah, no.
Oh, is
Plus,
he
he's super gay, so.
Yeah, so that there's a little
deducts
asterisk.
Points.
There's a little asterisk.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's like number one,
he gets
but it's like.
The merits for
yeah,
gay?
Yeah.
Actually, it's two little asterisks and a little, like. Plow in the middle.
Yeah.
Butthole.
A cock. I'm sorry. Okay. So this guy has mastered a sport in what is he, 24?
Yeah. He's pretty much a fish.
So he smokes weed. Who knows how often? Who cares? Whatever. I don't, but he
does.
Dude,
if you win 8 medals, you do whatever you want.
That's the point was. He's proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that. With determination and whatever else, you can do whatever you want, and it doesn't make you evil or a criminal if you hit a bong once.
Stupid. At
like,
least he wasn't caught like doing a line off a hooker or something. It could have been worse.
He's not Charlie Sheen. They still let him participate
That's
in
true.
Events.
Dude, and now he has that
he
shitty
like,
show.
Kill hookers and smoke
yeah,
crack.
He makes
and...
bongs out of their dead bodies.
Or yeah, wait, no. He smokes hookers and...
Has sex with crack.
Right.
He puts crack in his dick hole.
Right, into the crack pipe.
Yeah.
And then lights
And
it.
Then the hookers smoke it out of his dick. It's right. It's horrible what he does. But...
That's very complicated.
It's terrible. Well, you cross a point where nothing gets you off anymore when you're Charlie Sheen, and you have to do just terrible, terrible things to even get aroused. But Michael Phelps should be the poster boy for, like, success plus weed. Like, I did it, and you can do it too, kids.
Or stoners, like... Come on, dude.
They are. If you
after
look at,
I smoke, I got to get in
I
a swim.
I got medals too.
And I got to have a hearty bowl of
Frosted Flakes. And then the slogan is, they're great. What?
He's like, and I swim like a fish.
He said fish.
I'm totally a fish, bro.
Actually, that's the commercial of him going, bro.
Just giggling the whole time.
Watching SpongeBob. Then it's like Kellogg's. Michael Phelps.
For breakfast. Breakfast is champion.
I would buy the shit out of that.
But, you know, illegal or not, I don't endorse drug use. I don't do any myself. I don't hate people that
sure,
do.
Sure, but I mean, I'm
but
just saying.
But weed's
like,
no more dangerous than alcohol. Alcohol is more dangerous than weed.
Absolutely.
No one dies because high drivers are high driving. You don't have enough motivation to drive.
Yeah, they're too lazy to bother.
So alcohol is more dangerous than weed, but everyone loves beer, and nobody would give a shit if Michael Phelps was a fucking alcoholic.
I hear some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
That's him, right? That's his slogan.
That was him. That was
Kellogg's.
A quote from his press conference.
Mr. Phelps, what do you have to say to your fans that you've let down?
Some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
Sad, sad news from the world of professional swimming today. So, leave the guy alone. Don't take his money away. And stop being hypocritical assholes. You all do your recreational drugs.
Yeah, jackass.
Just some of them are legal and some of them aren't.
Jerk.
You know what they might have had to do? He might have had to smoke weed to make it seem like he was from this planet. Like otherwise,
they had to slow him down.
Yeah, he's swimming like 700 miles an hour, splitting holes in the earth. And they're like, we've got to slow this kid down. It's this like, Kryptonian bastard.
That would have made The Incredibles, the Pixar movie, awesome if they had to do shit like that. Here,
like,
take this
dash,
pill.
Dash, just take it, Ritalin.
Whoa. What the hell? Dude, I've been pissing on my leg this whole time.
So many hairs
so
on the back of my hand. I'm going to count them all.
My hands are huge.
They can touch anything but themselves. Oh. Moving on. Speaking of Olympics and their high moral standards, pole dancing may become an Olympic sport.
What?
I don't even want to read the article. I hope it's not true.
I'm so happy I can't even feel my arms.
But this has to relate somehow to the story from last week or week before last about flying in the strippers.
No, that makes no sense, though. Keep going.
Oh, flying in? No, two different.
How does Olympic pole dancing work?
I have no idea.
Is there like a long jump? Do you run at the pole and then vault sideways around it?
She's about to mount the.
wait, hey.
What have you got?
You actually have a sound mic?
No. Keep talking.
I don't know if I have anything to say. You got me all titillated now.
Don't ever say that word again.
Titillated.
It's a terrible word.
Yeah,
you know, I'm just trying to think.
Never mind. You've got nothing.
No. Like, I'm just wondering how they would call that.
Oh, her cooch slipped out. That's going to cost her an eighth of a point.
Oh, the Croatians are not.
The Croatian judge does not like that.
Let's see what the American judge has to say. Oh.
Were you going to put a pole dancing music for a routine? Don't you have any Bon Jovi?
I was looking.
She's going to be doing her routine to Living on a Prayer.
Robert,
practicing all summer.
Robert, she has a troubling story of how she got here. She actually fell off of a pirate ship on her way here from the United States. And her orphan family told her that she was very good with a pole and... they set up a pole in the backyard and she practiced every day.
Just seriously not true, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, click the link. I don't know if it's true. I haven't read the article. I don't care.
I'm caring a lot about that fried rice, but I just ate. But yeah, they've all got the same sob story. Every single contestant.
Yeah, that's
it's
what
like,
I'm saying.
He's like, no, but it's like, it's way more mundane. He's like, you know, she's just got a harrowing story of triumph. Her ex-husband, they got married when they were 17. They have three kids. He's a deadbeat and left her, and now she's trying to put herself through community college with Olympic pole dancing. Here she begins her routine.
Robert, she's about to get up on the pole. This is a very difficult opening move. It's called the
triple axle rod.
It's called the camel twist.
The greased camel twist.
And success on that first move.
Excellent. Good
Gets
form.
Out of that. That
good
looks
form.
Promising.
Good dismount.
Nice
good.
Arching. Nice yeah. arch on the tits.
And
it's
Olympic pole dancing.
It is an Olympic sport, and that is.
Oh, there
term.
Is some visible camel toe.
Oh.
That is going to cost her.
Actually, I am.
It's a third of a point per side.
From this side, you can see a few stretch marks, and that can't be good.
No.
For the
poor costume design
the
is what I'm seeing.
The Russian judge is not going to be pleased with that. That's something that.
Oh, and she slipped!
Oh, no. She's, oh, wait. Did. And recovers.
She's pulled it off nicely.
But that back heel looks a little weak now. I wonder if that's
one of her
hold
stilettos
up.
Has popped
that,
off.
That might not hold up to the rest of the routine.
She's hobbling. She is now going to have to stay off of that foot.
Look at the amount of commitment in the eyes. She is staring deep into the eyes.
The way she's licking that strawberry ever so sensuously.
That strawberry. That.
That's a move I first saw in the 88 Olympics, Eli.
Oh.
Oksana Bayul did
oh,
that.
Yes.
Whatever. Moving on. The next thing. As soon as pour some sugar on these over. Well, now, sticky sweet. So, if they got a dollar for every time somebody pole danced to that, they'd rule the world.
Well, we wouldn't be in debt.
That's true.
The economy would be fine and we'd all have jobs.
So you know that famous image designed by Shepard Fairey, the graphic designer, with Obama, Hope, the four-color logo? Mm-hmm. So his quick story is he designed that. He basically contributed it to the Obama campaign. Any money he made from it, he donated to the Obama campaign.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And he said on Colbert that the whole purpose of it was to help get Obama elected. That was payment enough for him. But lots of people are making money off of it on bootleg t-shirts and stickers and whatever else. So now the AP, the Associated Press, is suing him because it was loosely based on a photo they took.
Unbelievable. Are
you, but if
you serious?
Look at the similarities. The photo is like a dime a dozen photo. It's just Obama. I mean,
yeah, I mean,
and there are, I can see differences where he looked at something and then drew it.
So yeah, that's what I was going to say. Somebody could have sketched that on paper right after seeing it, or could have seen that photo and said, okay, I'm going
to
go home and
it's
sketch
Obama
that out.
With his head cocked to the side.
Assholes.
So fuck the AP. Get your news from elsewhere. Yeah. Don't support them through the means by which you don't already have anything to do with it. Never
deleted.
So that sucks because, you know, the guy uses his artistic talent to accomplish something. In all honesty, the Obama campaign had a lot to do with marketing, and that was part of it. And so
it was a genius.
He definitely helped him win. Definitely. That
oh,
was
yeah.
an iconic image. I'll remember that for the rest of my life.
Yeah, it was. It's no different than like. What was it? Back Ike or Ike?
I like Ike.
Yeah, I like Ike. And
yeah.
It
which obviously didn't leave much of an impression on you.
Sure. But, well, you know.
Did you vote for Ike?
I'm just saying. I wasn't around during the talkies.
Oh, okay. I thought you were.
During the talkies and the moving pictures of that time period.
Yeah, that's
I
wrong.
Didn't ride a Zeppelin to get there.
That's wrong.
Zeppelin.
A gyrocopter? An autogyro? I'll take the 5 o'clock autogyro to Prussia. Next, whoa.
What?
Jesus. Next thing.
Prussia.
Klingons robbed a 7-Eleven with batleths.
Fuck yeah.
That's awesome.
That's how you do it.
Let them go free.
That's how you take down a motherfucker. That's right.
Colorado Springs police are looking for a man who hit two 7-Elevens armed with a batleth. The first robbery, blah, 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 blah. The clerk told police it was a white man in his 20s wearing a black jacket, blue jeans, and wearing a black mask. I guess I didn't mention the forehead ridges.
Dude, this is that fucking guy that practically groped you.
Yeah, this is a con guy,
for
sure.
At that con.
Because where else are you going to get a batleth?
That is a
oh,
sword
of
honor for those who don't know.
Yeah.
You'd actually be surprised how many places you can find those things.
Oh, like there's like a Batleths R Us.
Yeah.
Yes,
they sell them at Walmart.
I'd like to see your finest.
You can't see the finest ones, sir. I'm sorry. We actually have the Sword of Kaelas over the mantle here. And
it's so weird.
You're not even allowed
and
to
random.
Touch it. Think about this, though. Okay, so they're like 4.5 feet long, giant, curved, crazy knife. They're not even necessarily that sharp unless, I mean, the replicas you buy aren't unless you sharpen it yourself.
Sure.
But you run into a convenience store with that? I bet that's some fucking terrifying shit. if I saw it, I'd be like, sweet, a Batleth. You want to buy some Twix?
But I'd be like, dude, you want to get some? I'll give you some porn.
A normal guy.
Because you probably need it.
They would think you were like a fucking Highlander or something. He'd be scared to death.
Yeah. If I was working in a convenience store, I'd be like, sweet. Dude.
What do you want?
Wait, right here. I'm going to go get my camera, if that's cool.
Right.
I'm just going to grab one of these disposable ones that
nice
behind me. Do you want what now? You want the money.
You should try and take a Batleth on a plane and say that it's like, yeah, you know, you have to protect your honor.
Okay, it's not going to work like that chick said that she had to wear that outfit to jury duty. I don't think that's going to fly.
The command uniform from TNG.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to hold up.
Oh man.
In court when they put me in jail for trying to get on an airplane with that.
God.
It's like, no, it's for picking my nails
what
underneath
jury?
My
was
nails.
Was she on the OJ jury? What jury? It was
no,
a famous jury.
It wasn't.
It was the Clinton one. The
Whitewater? Was she a Whitewater juror?
Was it? Was that a point? That was.
No,
I don't remember.
Think it was a big one.
But oh no, it was a big one.
It
was on
one
of the. She was on one of the most famous trials, and
oh,
I
really?
Obviously can't
the Arkansas,
remember
it.
And she insisted on bringing her plastic tricorder, and wearing a homemade like Riker uniform.
Yeah. She was like, I'm number three.
It's number three. There's Klingons in the 7-Eleven. Next item of internet. This one's awesome. This one made my mind race with possibilities. You know, tandem parachuting.
Yeah.
You're not good enough to go on your own.
I heard about this.
You have to jump with somebody.
So the first time you go,
your
someone's
first,
strapped
like,
to your back.
Four jumps.
Yeah. However many it is for your state or whatever. Someone's strapped to your back. And you're faced forward, so you get the full experience, but they're gonna pull the ripcord if you panic. They're gonna calm you down, whatever. Okay, so a guy goes and tandem jumps, and his instructor dies mid-jump.
Did he die? I heard he had a heart attack.
He
I didn't
passes
know he died.
Away. Damn. You are plummeting toward the earth like 100 miles an hour with a corpse strapped to your body.
That's hardcore.
Bullet! he's like, there's something very important I have to tell you. This next step is crucial. Okay, I'm listening. What is it? I'm listening.
How do I do that?
Wait, you did. You never told me which cord to pull.
You would think that would like almost bring you back at that point. Like the adrenaline from jumping out of
no,
an
you'd
airplane.
Have to you'd have to try and do CPR behind you. You're like elbowing the guy in the chest. Breathe, damn it! He landed though. The other guy was fine. He's like, there's a fucking corpse off me. Are you okay? There's a goddamn dead guy on me.
That's crazy.
And then for the next like week, he's like,
I feel
does
so
that mean
bad
like
for
in
that
the in like the if that guy's ghost doesn't go wherever it's like in limbo? That means it's on the dude's back for the rest
yes.
of his life.
That is actually the rules for that.
So like when he occasionally will pass, or if he sees Whoopi Goldberg, she's like,
"Oh God,
oh my God, there's a ghost with a parachute on your back."
Yeah, I know it's Patrick Swayze.
Dude, you no, have no idea. It's so weird when I go to the bathroom.
You think when Patrick Swayze dies, they're gonna make ghost jokes? That's gonna be sad.
I'm sure that. Someone's
that's just
all over that
terrible.
Right now.
It
someone's
is, right?
Just waiting to
why are people like that?
Somebody's just waiting to hit that upload button. They're like...
He's got the shirt made.
Fucking die.
Oh, man, that was harsh.
Thank you, Jesus!
So, there should be a whole other class of extreme sport where you do them with corpses strapped to your back. Like, corpse-strapped snowboarding. Like, yeah... Sure, you can do a 1080, but can you do it with a corpse strapped to your back? No.
He can do
no
a,
one can.
You can do a flip on one of those like off-road motorcycles.
A triple back flip over 18 school buses with a dead guy? No. Faced.
He's like, oh, that's a good move. Oh, but the corpse is... He fell off.
He wobbled.
That is just not...
The corpse has been decapitated by one of the school buses. It's tragic, tragic scenario. These are our two new Olympic sports. Is pole dancing and corpse everything.
Duh.
Michael Phelps, his punishment for smoking weed is he has to swim with a dead guy strapped to him from now on. He's like, this seems harsh. Shut up. Shut up, stoner.
Crap.
Get your corpse. Damn it. This sucks.
It's so weak. So it basically is just Weekend at Bernie's.
Yes.
It's your punishment.
Yes.
Like, wait, I got to watch that? No. You
no,
have to
you have to convince
that.
Everyone that this dead guy is alive. That doesn't make any sense.
He's your partner. Like, he's your swimming partner.
Synchronized swimming with the dead guy. Actually, no, that's Weekend at Bernie's 3. Is his partner dies right before the big game. And he's like, no, no one can know. So he ties their forefingers together and he dances with him.
Pretty terrible.
Fuck that, man. It's funny how all the 80s come back around to bite you in the ass.
Yeah, they're always strapping corpses to you because of Weekend at Bernie's. I hate that.
Fucking, whoever the fuck that guy was, those two guys who...
Bernie.
Yeah, I get, you know, that's probably the real names.
Bernie and the two guys.
What's your name, guy?
Guy number one.
I'm Guy.
And I'm Bernie. I'm dead.
I'm also Guy.
Next thing. Last thing. Last internet. What can you say? Ghost Rider sequel got greenlit. Am I still the only one that saw it?
You saw that?
We talked about it.
Did we?
It hurt me. That's it hurt me deeply.
Much I didn't care about that movie.
It's, it was beyond awful. It was that kind of thing like we tried to watch those movies on New Year's that were so bad they weren't funny.
Right.
Ghostbusters. Ghost Rider was like that where there was nothing to make fun of because it didn't take itself seriously enough to make fun of it. Nick Cage seemed like he was in a partial coma during the entire thing or just bored.
Isn't that his perpetual state of being now?
10 times normal. Like completely amplified to ultimate boredom. Wrong. So... then moving on to Top Explode, which needs some sort of zinger. We need to make one.
Now let's get out there and melt some faces!
Okay. You downloaded some School of Rock stuff this weekend, didn't you?
No, it's just been in the
been in the pile. Yeah. Okay, so Denise wanted to talk about Lost, so let's talk about Lost. Let's do it.
What's with the island?
What's up with that?
That's what I've been saying since the first episode.
I mean,
and what's with the monster and the polar bear?
Like, whoa.
And the numbers.
I was watching it and got real hungry and ate some Frosted Flakes.
All right, moving on. No. Okay, so Lost. I'll say it's moving up in quality. It's grabbing my interest a bit more.
Yeah, sure.
If you can say that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's starting to pull together. They're starting to explain.
They're setting Sun up
now
to be a villain.
Which is awesome. She's a badass.
I like that they're pulling a couple things together. Like, I mean, granted, they may be things that we may not necessarily care about anymore, but at least they're trying to wrap up a couple things. Or
such as?
Well, not so much wrap up as much as like, okay, it's obviously very clear that the others, we know who the others are. We know how the island works now.
We don't know who the others are.
We don't necessarily have to know anymore, but we know...
We don't know why there are native inhabitants of that island at all.
I don't know if we really need to know that. We just know that there is... The others are just crazy fucks.
We don't know why Richard Alpert is ageless.
I don't know if it really matters anymore.
Oh, dude. Then nothing matters.
Time travels. It doesn't... Yeah, it doesn't.
Well, that's what I'm
matter.
Saying, because once they introduce time travel, like, whatever.
No one else... No one is ageless because they're traveling through time.
I guess that's true.
He never ages. And Ben did, Widmore did. Now that's interesting. The fact, and by the way, spoilers. Lost spoilers if you're not caught up on season 5.
Spoilers.
Widmore's on the island. That's kind of interesting. So there's his vested interest. He used to live there. He wants desperately to get back and possibly control it.
Maybe he thinks that that's what the it's the Fountain of Youth sort of thing.
I'm sure it is in some fashion or another.
And that's why he wants it. I mean, like I said, I don't know. I guess maybe if you're fully caught up on Lost, like they introduce things now or they try to go like, oh, well, there's another thing you're not going to know about. And
yeah.
I really don't care because it's like, dude, all I need to know is that the fucking island is a time machine. That's all I really need
well,
to know.
Do you remember?
I don't really care about a whole lot.
A season or two ago when Richard Alpert shows up at young Locke's house and asks him which of these things are his. Okay, you know that they didn't know where that was going. But they've solved that now. Because Locke tells him, I'll be born next year.
Sure.
Go see me.
Sure.
But that makes no sense. Because why would his young self know that compass was his at one point? I mean, that's dumb. But
It doesn't matter because that gets into the whole time loop thing. Like, wait a minute. So
what breaks it for me is that I know that they're doing this stuff without knowing where it's going and then fixing it later. And it feels that way to me.
I don't really care about that because I don't listen. I try not to follow or listen about all that stuff online.
I get that feeling more actually more than Lost.
Hang on. I think we're dead. Stream dead? Okay, we're back. That was a quick one.
But yeah, I was going to say that whole retconning thing, I feel that more with Battlestar, actually, than with Lost. I notice it more anyway.
You know, see, they did it with extremely big plot points, though. Like, they didn't know who the final Cylon was. So they did some stuff, not knowing who it was going to be, and then kind of tried to make it fit. But Lost does it with minor details in every episode.
Okay,
so much so that you're like, what? Like, okay, do you remember when they first went to the funeral home and you didn't know it was Locke in the funeral, in the coffin?
Okay.
The funeral home was called the Hov's Drawler, which was an anagram for Flash Forward, because that was the first Flash Forward episode, because you didn't know that Jin was in the past and Sun was in the future. You didn't...
Okay. So confusing.
So on this last one, Ben was driving around a van that said Canton Rainier Carpet Cleaning, and I'm like, those aren't real words, so I'm going to look that up. And it was an anagram for reincarnation. Why throw that shit in there to fuck with you?
Well, that's why I stopped following that stuff, because when I was watching Lost, and I still watch it now, but when I would watch it and it'd be over and I was watching it in real time, I'd be form.
Yeah, internet.
Oh.
Someone already knows. Someone
Dude,
got the screenshot.
Somebody farted on the screen. You can totally see it. Look, slow-mo. 4 frames a second. Zoom in. Ultra zoom. You can totally see that branch moving.
Remember the shark? Everyone freaked out because there was like one frame of a shark with the Dharma logo on it. And we're like, when's the shark going to come back?
That means something.
Nothing.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Which is why I don't follow any of that anymore.
You know, they're making that show in like season 2 and they're like, oh, put a Dharma logo on that guy's balls. And then do a half frame of it.
Like a half ball flash.
The internet will catch it.
Yeah.
Fuck with them.
A sack flash.
What was it that... It was the smoke monster that everybody went kind of nuts about with that.
Yeah, when they finally showed it. Like the time that the smoke monster didn't kill Echo.
Right. Yeah, that one.
And it saw his future. Or no, it didn't kill... Yeah, it didn't kill Echo. And it looked into his soul or whatever. Yeah. And it could see his past. And I'm like, what? How... This is why they haven't explained that yet, because they don't know.
There was this one. I was looking at the forums whenever that happened, because I was trying to figure out, too. And it was so funny, because somebody had said, what was it? The smoke monster finally found another huge black motherfucker he doesn't want to fuck with. I'm like, no.
Wow.
That's funny, but that's wrong.
I think we talked about it on the show, but the reason Echo's off the show is because he... was an asshole to work with, and he hated being on the show.
Was he really?
He was extremely vocal about hating being in Hawaii.
It sounds like a lot of the cast, though, were kind of problem children.
Yeah, they've had cast issues. Michelle Rodriguez and him. His wasn't as public because he didn't get like a DUI or anything afterwards.
It's a shame because he was maybe one of my favorite characters.
He was supposed to be Locke. Like, he was supposed to take this role of going over to the others.
Oh,
that
really?
Was his plan. They had for him. And they gave it to Locke after.
That's really too bad. Because when I heard... And I'd already stopped watching. I had already stopped following it by then. But when I heard that they had killed him off, I'm like, ugh, that sucks.
I don't know. I still like that they're doing all that viral marketing stuff. I think it's cool just
I'm
because...
Over it.
I like what viral marketing can bring. And I like that they still do it. I just don't follow it anymore. But like viral marketing will... surface yet again somewhere else, and if they do it in a cool way, it's cool to embrace what it is and then just get into it. Like when they did it for Cloverfield, I kind of enjoyed it because I found like 3 videos on I found them myself without finding a link, and then I sent
See,
it to
I just wait
I sent
till
it to, like,
some
Josh
other douchebag does all the work.
Well, and you know,
like remember when Lost, they would put like 4 seconds of a clip on a cell phone that only Verizon people could watch, and then people would get them off their phone and string them together and put them on YouTube, and it made like a 5-minute movie that completely explains what the numbers are. And so there are all these people that watch Lost that will never know what the numbers mean, because I guarantee you they're not going to address it on the show.
No, I know. And it's, and what I'm saying is it's fine to do that, because I like, if viral marketing is done well, I kind of like how it can be done. Like Batman or Dark Knight showed how you can do it in a very cool way, where you can bring a community of people together who just all they care about is this movie. So everyone's going to gather at a mall and go on a little scavenger hunt. And sure, it's a waste of time, but somebody like put that together.
Sure, it sucks, and sure, it's for assholes, but you know, it's awesome.
No, because the one that they had here was...
I know, we talked about it last week.
It was pretty cool, and I appreciate those things, because that is allowing artists to be a little cool with saying, like, hey, make a backstory. It's all you. Do it. Make something cool.
Well, so
and people get to enjoy it as a side story.
Regarding the current season, then, they seem to be setting you up for, you know, the big rift of who's going to believe Ben and go back to the island. Jax, if you look back at his character, he is a leader by circumstance.
He's
actually
a leader
kind of
men.
He's kind of a douche.
He is. I know.
Right?
That's what I always say. Like, in the first season, I liked him. He was stepping up, and like you're saying, like he was kind of by accident nominated.
But then he just got beat down.
Yeah, towards the second season, he's like, "Where are you going? Well, like, I need to know." And
man,
like, shut up with the whiny baby shit.
Aren't I the daddy of the island? And he was the one that started that whole, like, every episode of like, Kate, if you trust me, you'll come with me into this dynamite explosion hatch that is covered in dynamite and poisonous slugs.
And
you have to trust me, Kate.
And then you gotta hold this torch. Didn't you just say it's made of dynamite?
It's kerosene. You have to trust me, Kate!
He's and such like, a big baby after
a
while.
And then he loses his mind, and then he's like a giant pussy factory. And now he is probably the least interesting character on the show. He has been since season
Absolutely.
1.
Absolutely.
Like, after season 1, you were like, what the... I think they tricked you into thinking he was important, maybe. But he's actually had the least going on of anybody on the island.
Well, he actually was one of... Probably
he never made
a
good move
the,
on Kate.
Right. He was one of the stronger characters in the first season, but yeah, they never did anything interesting with him that I can think of.
Yeah, no.
Maybe.
Also, John Dark in the forum mentions, this is actually kind of funny, that if you look on YouTube, you can see Hurley auditioning for Sawyer and Jack auditioning for Sawyer.
Oh, weird. I can't imagine either of those.
I don't want to see Hurley without a shirt.
Well, it'd be funny because, you know, they actually said they made a lot of the characters based on the actors. Like, they invented Hurley for Hugo, No, not his name's not Hugo. It's Reyes. What's his name?
Yeah, Hugo.
It's Hugo?
Yeah.
Because his name's Hugo in the show, too.
Oh, wait. No, never mind.
What's his name?
I thought you meant on the
in
show.
In the show, his name is...
Oh, yeah, Jorge Garcia.
Yeah.
So,
George.
Yeah, Jorge. I think it's pronounced Jorge, Eli, if you don't mind me correcting you.
It's George.
So... George, they invented Hurley for him because they liked him. And Kate, they originally had a lot of problems with because she'd never acted before. And so she was just really bad. She couldn't remember her lines. She wasn't a good actress.
I could see that. She was just a hot chick.
And they fixed her.
Right. She's okay now.
She has chiclet teeth.
What?
She has giant chiclets for teeth in the front. She has like giant chiclet horse teeth. Next thing.
Oh, yeah. His name is...
Chiclet Teeth?
No. Chiclet Teeth Jones.
No, I was looking at... Because I was looking at IMDb of what these people have done. They really... Most people have done nothing but Lost, except Locke.
Sawyer was like a...
He was like on Daytime Soaps.
Daytime Soaps,
he was on People's Stories.
John Dark mentioned something that I totally forgot about, which I remember now. That
the Loveline
she was,
commercials?
Yeah, the Loveline... That was her, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The one?
The Loveline...
She did phone sex commercials.
Lunch conversations about this.
Evangeline Lilly's first like paying TV gig was phone sex commercials for like call the hotline.
You don't remember this? We talked about
have
this
fun.
All the time.
I don't think I was
awesome
there.
Girls are waiting for you, but it wasn't slutty. She was like wearing a t-shirt and jeans.
And she was just like kind of laying on the couch or whatever.
But you know she
phone,
got like
but...
$10 for that. So after Lost comes out, that was like a 4-year-old commercial. It goes back into heavy rotation because all of a sudden the star of Lost is doing phone sex commercials.
I could have sworn we talked about that all the time. No, maybe it was with my sister because we were like No, that's not her. She's a real actress.
Except not. Except she's never acted before.
Yeah. Now I'm like really interested because
it's on YouTube.
I'm trying to pull it up, but now it's like uber slow.
All right, so moving
on.
The
internet dead? The internet isn't dead, is it?
No.
Looks
fine on there.
You are, maybe.
Dead?
Because you're so old.
That's not nice.
Next thing. I actually saw the PG-13 version of Taken. Something just
for me. You went to the theater to watch it?
Yeah, we had a day off and we had a free movie ticket pass. So
you had a day off from baby?
Yeah, we had a baby-free day. There was nothing else in the theater, so I said, fuck it, we'll go see Taken.
Let's hear it.
Final verdict. This is too long. Had you guys never said anything ever, had you never mentioned it, there is a chance I wouldn't have known anything was missing. But going into it, knowing that they were pulling punches, it was obvious.
Really?
It was extremely obvious. Yeah. Like, all... Okay, for, you know, the exposition's a little bit long, and the exposition is extremely...
Yeah.
Really?
It didn't We're handing it to you.
Yeah,
like,
it kind of felt like it.
It was very, like tongue in cheek. Like I really just want to see my daughter. I moved her to LA to be with my daughter.
Yeah,
I love her.
And
I love my daughter.
We talked about it. We said like, okay, whatever.
They and just, his friends are like, remember when we were in the CIA and it was awesome? We had those great missions. And now you're retired.
Right.
It's like they were just reading.
Shot that dude's finger off from like 4,000 yards off with a sniper rifle
remember
in
how,
high wind.
Remember all this exposition is helping the audience understand your past.
Remember when you killed that dude on a horse and then killed the horse and then like burned the horse and then like drove away in the car and then they shot at you but then you used a horse.
Remember when you and McGregor went into that clone ship, the powered robots.
And you went into the ventilation shaft.
Yeah. And then the gas came in, that one droid, and then you put your sword through the door.
That just showed how much of a
awesome.
Badass you were.
You're awesome. But that
I
was
just
too
wanted
long.
To point that out for you
and then
and the folks at home.
Yeah, the more you know. Don't have to take my word for it. So they set up his character very much on a silver platter. But then 30 minutes in, the action starts. Okay, every single sequence felt like it was pulling punches. Like it would have gone further had I been in charge of making the movie. But just a little bit. And so someone goes, dude, it's only like 6 minutes shorter. And I was telling my wife, I was like, yeah, but it's 6 minutes shorter 10 seconds at a time.
Sure, sure. In all the parts that matter.
Right. So it's like it's like punch, punch, and then break nose or take out break nose.
Right.
You know? So there's very little
what
blood.
A shame.
There's almost no blood in the movie at all.
Oh my God. Then it's all messed up.
The only blood I remember from the entire film, and spoilers if you haven't seen Taken, is when they
spoilers. Go.
Okay. Is when they when he finally shoots the guy in the elevator who's running the girl
yeah.
selling ring.
I guess
okay.
you can't really
him,
avoid
the
that.
The guy
though.
Shoots in the elevator?
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy
the
running
owner guy.
The auction.
So they didn't show the guy who opens the door.
Well, I don't know, but I'm just saying when he finally does shoot that guy, when he shoots him, no blood. But then when the elevator opens, there's blood on his chest.
Are you sure. serious?
That is the only blood in the movie.
Lame
okay,
sword.
Wait a minute. Then this the torture scene where the guy's in the chair.
I know that you guys said there was something missing. All he does is turn on that light switch. There, he electrocutes the guy and nothing else.
What? Are
oh
you
God.
Serious?
Don't ruin it because I still want to see the
yeah,
good
you
one.
You have
Josh
to get the
to
good
get...
bits.
But here's how obvious it was that that scene was fucked with. Okay? He puts the guy
in
the chair.
In the trailer, they show more than that.
He puts. Also, that was refilmed. It has to have been refilmed. There had to have been multiple takes.
I kind of want to see it now.
It couldn't have gone any other way. He talks about electrocuting the guy. He puts a sock in his mouth, electrocutes him, turns it off, asks him a question, electrocutes him again, asks him a question. Every time he flips the switch on, it goes up to a light bulb dimming. And then it became obvious they were using the same footage over and over and over
gotcha.
To not show you the guy writhing in pain. And I'm
oh,
like, okay, that's kind of
shitty. They totally copped out on it.
Then,
yeah, they did.
Here's what? How I know it was reshot, because I know this is not how he died. The guy's like, okay, I told you, let me go. And he's like, I just can't do that. And he flips the switch and leaves. But all you see is him flipping the switch, hearing the power coming on, and you see him walk up the stairs.
Sure.
It leads you to assume that the guy died, being electrocuted.
That is... No, that's straight out of the uncut version, but...
But...
You don't see any of it.
Right,
you just see him leave.
You see the important parts, which is like, oh my God.
Everything.
That's fucking third world messed up.
So I... And honestly, the other thing
But the rest of the action was probably fine, though. The ass kicking...
It's pulled. I'm just saying. All of the punches, like, and the throws and whatnot, yeah, that all still happened. Everything felt truncated. It was still enjoyable. But knowing the difference now, I would discourage anyone from seeing the PG-13 movie.
Well, yeah, that sucks. Because I told my, because my sister and my mom were asking if that was a good movie. And I'm like, well, yeah.
Well, maybe for them.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Like, I didn't hype up all the way to like, oh, you have to watch the European version, the uncut, blah, 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 R-rated.
Although it's better.
It is. And I kind of mentioned it. I skimmed it over. I'm like, well, you know, it's probably more violent with the European version. But, you know, I would probably watch it anyway in the theater. And I mean, yeah, in that case, it's probably okay.
I certainly wasn't bored. It was a good movie.
Sure.
I wish there had been something else for me to see. And I had just seen the European version on DVD at home. Because it's... You were getting ramped up and ramped up and ramped up. And then you felt like then the scene would change without it really paying off, I guess.
That's so
after I see the real one, I'll know if it was just I was just sucking myself out or if it really was missing that much.
Yeah, that's
it. Yeah, I mean, I'd be interested to get a take of what you thought after. Because all three of us, when we watched that, were like eating cookies and high-fiving.
Yeah.
Because it was fantastic. It was like Christmas in whenever we saw it.
I felt myself going... Like, huh? Oh, okay. Oh.
Oh.
Like, you know, it just never... I wanted to jump up and cheer, but it never got to that moment.
Oh, then yeah.
Until, I'll tell you what, though.
The PG-13 cock blocked you?
Yes. I did get it. It Pajok blocked me. 13. Pajok blocked 13. So I, the very final, like the main boss... Final boss.
Yeah, big boss.
That was a good... I don't know how he died exactly in the first one, but it was good in the PG-13 one.
Big boss. Who's the final boss fight?
The guy with the
boss
knife.
The Sheik.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
No, that was his little guy, but the actual Sheik
on
the
boat. Oh, the big dude?
Yeah.
Okay.
When he's like...
Okay,
he's
like...
Boss fight. Yeah, boss fight.
We can talk about this. Yeah, no, you can't.
Yeah.
But,
Boss fight.
Boss fight was great.
Well, yeah, because sub-boss fight was pretty good.
Mini boss, yeah.
Yeah, mini boss leading up to big boss fight on the boat.
Here's the thing, though. I will say this.
Dude, he outran an Audi.
That was ridiculous. He is 65, and he was running like 70 miles
an
hour.
They made that quite clear in the prologue.
He isn't 65, is he?
How old is...
He can't be that old.
He's 57, then. If he ain't 65, look it up.
Probably closer to mid-50s.
So, also, a couple of things in the movie were extremely unbelievable. That, him running faster than an Audi. The Audi they were obviously trying to sell us. And so I'm going to be like, okay, hang on. If an old man can outrun this Audi, then I don't want it. You know, force powers.
It was
or no.
Liam Neeson, though.
That's true.
Born in 52.
July 7th.
So he's 57.
Count that.
I was right. He's 57. My God.
That's
62. You said 65 first.
I said 65, and then I said 57. So anyway. The other thing is when it's all over and Shannon from Lost is like, fine. And I'm like, no.
Oh, yeah.
No. They gave you heroin
again,
and sold you into
right.
Prostitution. You're not fine.
Yeah, but see, again, like we talked about when we talked about this, what, was it last week? Week before? When we talked about seeing this, I was like, yeah, all that other shit, whatever. It's all a bunch of crap.
You could watch the middle 45 minutes and nothing else, really.
Absolutely.
Sure.
You could just watch that clip and then... turn it off and go have a cigarette because you're like
I did like when
yeah.
when he jumps off the bridge, lands on the boat, and then all in one motion kills that guy. Like rolls off the boat, grabs the guy's neck, snaps it, and keeps on running.
They're
like
lucky
nothing
he didn't kill the boat.
Like rips break the boat's keel.
Yeah, and the boat's like
all right.
But here's my question. This is the other thing about
it.
Here's my question. That's completely unbelievable. He was reckless enough in Europe to get noticed, right? For instance, his crooked cop friend, spoilers, his crooked cop friend obviously knows who he is and isn't involved in shady shit. And all of what he did there, every person he killed can be traced back to him, okay? Then he takes out an Arabian sheik. I mean, I'm guessing that guy's dudes are probably going to come after him.
Whatever, he can take them.
I guess. They come at him with a fucking Black Hawk helicopter. I mean, he's not going to kick it out of the sky.
You don't know that.
I have to take care of this helicopter. I don't know who you are. I don't have any money. But I'm going to kick your helicopter. I'm going to outrun your Audi. And I'm going to kick your helicopter in the face.
Whatever.
And I'm going to eat your balls.
With a lightly braised with my lightsaber.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Okay.
I'm not asking, I'm telling you.
Okay, yeah, we're moving on.
We're moving on, fuck. Goddamn. So, last week we showed your copy of Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man with Obama on it. The question of legality was raised to Marvel of, do you have the rights to... This isn't satire, it's not parody, so do you have the rights to profit off of Obama's image? So they come back with a statement that, like, that's not Obama. That's... It's Black President of the Marvel Universe. No, we never said his name.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
That's their stance, that it's not Obama.
How
it represents...
Funny.
It's an amalgamation of people, and it represents the current president of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, because Bush was president in the Marvel Universe also.
Barack Balama Lama is Obama Dama.
But it wasn't Bush. They just said, you know, current president, and they made it quite obvious. Like, he was
Did
like,
they really? Was he involved in the Civil War?
Yeah. But, I mean, just from a far out stance, it's like...
Hey, superheroes.
Yeah, pretty much.
You need to register with the government.
Yeah, pretty much. And, like, they, you know, they make it quite obvious who the president is, and it was based on, you know, current situations.
Where's Batman? Wrong universe. Actually, Dick's like, wrong universe, George. But you're the Penguin. Where's Batman? Can I be the Riddler? Strategery. So, So that's a cop-out. Marvel are a bunch of pussies.
No, they're not, man. I don't want Marvel to go away, because then at the minute they say, like, oh, it is him, then they're like, sued,
dude,
done.
Marvel will go away. Comic books?
Well, it...
Marvel's doing bad.
Wait, who would sue them? The president?
The government.
Possibly the U.S. government. I don't know.
Because, I mean, Obama wouldn't do it.
Obama wouldn't give a shit. There's a lot worse stuff going on. Plus, Obama likes Spider-Man.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
But... Marvel, so far, only makes money off their movies, and half the time they claim that they don't. Like, whenever they're trying to fuck Stan Lee out of all his money, they're like, Spider-Man didn't... It made like $7. We gave you two. He won that, though. He got like $50 million or some shit. He got a lot of money off that.
He's probably going to try to prolong his life forever.
He's getting sued now because of money off of Spider-Man.
Why?
I can't remember who's suing him, but someone's claiming he hasn't paid... Something, blah, blah, blah. Google Stanley lawsuit, Spider-Man, it's on there. Speaking of Batman. Warner wants 7 Batman movies because they are greedy assholes.
Wow.
Here's the reasoning.
Well, then we're going to end up with fucking...
Batman and Robin all over again. Yeah,
it's happening. Apparently we cannot learn from, you know...
Shia LaBeouf is Robin.
Apparently we can't learn from bombing Hiroshima or... You know, the Alamo, or, you know, dare I say the
slightly
Holocaust.
Slightly different degrees of severity, but
the Batacost. So, their reasoning is, we look at Harry Potter. It's fantastic to have franchises that last that long.
That is the worst analogy
ever. Harry Potter's
ever.
7 books. They're going to make 7 movies. That's not...
That's so stupid.
That's terrible.
It's the worst analogy.
So, they want to do 7. And, obviously, Bale and... Christopher Nolan will not be around for number 4. You know, it's not going to happen. No way.
Oh, yeah.
They're strongly considering not being involved in number 3.
Good. Good for them.
But Warner's going to make him regardless.
I don't know about that.
There's no way Warner won't make more Batman movies. There's no way.
Warner without him? They've done it before.
Warner will make more Batman movies, saying.
Oh, I thought you meant like they will force him to be on...
They'll leave. Bale and Nolan will leave, and Warner will make more Batman movies with, like, Jake Gyllenhaal as Batman or some shit. That's going to be terrible.
You don't fucking understand.
Though
I'm sorry, Christian.
Fine, then explain it to us.
For fuck's sake.
Well, that's not really an argument.
Stop walking.
I'm sitting.
I'm not asking. I'm telling you.
Now you're just not making any sense.
I'm complying. I don't understand. Mute his mic.
Shut the fuck up.
Cut his mic. Okay. So, you know, it's just greed. It's just giant corporation greed machine.
I know. They could use that money to get other things in the works.
You know what sucks is that, money or not, had no one liked Batman Begins and The Dark Knight, artistically, film-wise, entertainment-wise, they were both fantastic. And that's what matters. It just so happens they made a colossal shit ton of money, too, which makes Warner Brothers' money boners go all gigantic.
Yeah, it's what destroys everything, what makes the world go round.
Sure.
I know a certain other person who runs a company who thinks in the same light.
Oh, let's not do that.
Moving on. Josh?
Yes.
I hate that guy. I'm going to turn your mic up a little bit because I'm really having a hard time hearing you.
Me?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Every time good. You're like 2 inches away from it, I can't hear you. So moving on. Right. Okay, have we all seen how they're advertising Dollhouse?
Uh-oh.
Have you not seen any of the commercials for Dollhouse?
Not the most recent ones.
No, okay. I haven't either.
Like, I saw the ones that came on when they had that big mega, you know, sploosh of...
I don't understand any of the words you're saying.
Right. But yeah, when that first... I found that and sent it to Josh. I was like, dude, first like real Dollhouse thing. I guess it was around the new year when they were like, here's our new lineup for 2009.
Okay, so there's that one where they're like, Terminator and Dollhouse. And they're like trying to really hype the sex angle of it. And they're showing like, you know, Dushku in the shower and Dushku naked rolling around on a bed and Dushku shooting a guy. And it makes me wonder if that is cool with Whedon or not. But the other thing that was kind of weird is they did a Grindhouse trailer for it. Did you not see that?
No, I haven't.
Doll Grind.
They did a Grindhouse trailer with Terminator and Dollhouse as the two features in the old school like 70s camera style and like hot chicks, action, explosions.
Yeah, I'm watching it. Yeah, it's
like, okay, guys.
Oh, it's a lot of boobies.
We're getting back to some moron who's like only using marketing like... Well, we did a marketing survey, and we did a
That's
sample
kind of
group.
People like tits.
And
is that River? Is River in it?
River's
well, no,
in
it's
Terminator.
a cross between Terminator.
Oh, I see. I get it now.
Now, their point, which may be valid, is that nerds have done well by Battlestar on Friday. So if we give you a sci-fi block when Battlestar is almost over, which, by the way, this premieres this week. Upcoming. Yeah. Upcoming this
Friday.
Right.
From today.
Oh, shit.
Unless it was tonight. I hope it wasn't tonight.
Is it canceled?
I don't think so.
February 13th.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Next week.
Everybody's safe.
Everybody's safe. Everybody's
in the
cool.
chat room, Spring Hill Jack says, I need your bike and your clothes slowly. Yeah, that's hot.
Well,
so
it's some fucking jackass with marketing numbers and research to back
yeah,
all that.
And so my fear is, okay, so Firefly got virtually no marketing. So unless you were already anticipating it, you didn't watch it. Then when they did run commercials, they weren't representative of the show at all. So, and same with Serenity. The trailers for Serenity and whatnot did not properly communicate what was going to happen in that movie. And with this, I feel like they're saying, hey, watch it for tits. If people do watch it for tits, great. Give them the ratings. But they're not going to stick around because that's not what it's all about.
It's just another situation of one jackass saying, I know what everybody wants. Do it my way. And all the artists and people involved saying, well, no, we're trying to express the image this way. We know exactly what we
want. What are you giggling about?
Because he's not talking about the show anymore.
No, I am.
No, he's just talking about his own personal vendettas right. with the world.
I am talking about the show because that's what happens in all
You're
of these.
You're talking about your old job.
I am talking about my old job.
You're so full of shit.
I'm also talking about how it's funny, though, how this translates over to a lot of
oh,
these other...
balls. Next.
Dude, I have friends that work in that medium.
And I feel the same way.
Do it. Just go ahead and give a shout out to all the peeps back in GBX.
That's exactly what happens. Good exactly how it happens. And we end up with this crap, and then it gets lost forever.
Okay, next.
See what you've started.
Okay, so Caprica, the prequel to Battlestar, is greenlit. It is going to be in production. It's cast. It's got a pilot that they shot like 2 years ago. It's not supposed to premiere until 2010, which I did not know. I thought it was going to pick up near the end of Battlestar. So they don't want people to forget about it. So right after Battlestar is done, they're releasing a DVD of the pilot, an extended version.
Oh.
Haven't they done that? That's how they've done all their shit now.
Like what?
What was the in-between show about...
Razor?
Yeah. They came out with a DVD first before they even had it on television.
I don't know, I guess.
I'm pretty sure that's how it was, because I remember being like, wait, what the fuck? And then they were like, and then you can watch the exclusive... like sci-fi premiere if you don't want to go out and buy it on DVD. And I was like, that seems pretty backwards.
The thing is, I'm certainly not going to buy a pilot of a show and watch it, you know, for $15. That's retarded. I'll download it and see what I think about it, and then I'll actually watch the show when it comes out. But that's a weird strategy. They're like, hey, we've got a show, but it's not going to be ready. But we know you like Battlestar. Don't forget about it. Come watch it.
It is. I don't know. I gotta give them credit. They've done a lot of things right, so.
Well, not necessarily, because the team behind Caprica is not the team behind Battlestar at all.
Sure.
Totally different people.
Well, but they...
Ron Moore's moving on to a different show completely. I mean,
Sure, that's fine. I'm just saying that, like, they've... I don't know. I mean, they obviously took a chance on Battlestar.
I have a feeling that Caprica is going to lose its audience, because it's not going to be enough like Battlestar to keep anyone interested. It's going to be like a Law & Order... in space, and I have a feeling that Dollhouse is going to suck.
You really think so?
Yeah.
Aww.
I'm worried.
Sad boo.
The reviews, I will not read a whole review because I don't want to know too much about it. I really do want to go into it with a fresh perspective. But the reviews from like Super Weed and fanboys have been like, I bet it gets better.
Oh.
Like, aww, it's sad. Got potential.
Well, but then
it's got a good personality.
Why is why is that one show, what's it on Fox, the X-Files?
Fringe.
Why is that doing so well, then?
Because it's easy, honestly.
Well, then if these shows are being dumbed down or made easier, I mean, they could sustain life that
Fringe
way.
Made it seem for about 4 episodes like it was going to be like Lost, where you had to pay attention to every episode to know what was going on.
Sure.
They have pushed that shit so far in the background. Every episode is like disease or monster of the week.
If it's self-contained, then good. Because
and they said it's going to stay like that.
If that's all geeks want, they want their own CSI version of that.
No, geeks don't want that. That's what the general populace wants. Geeks would rather get involved and have something to, like, love, I think, and get obsessed over, but they don't pay the bills. So they want the general populace to watch it.
Yeah, but that's what you were saying about Lost, and then when all the little, like, minute details would come on, you were like, ah, fuck, I don't care about that shit.
No, I really did, until they never paid off. I was super... I had, like, 4 Lost forums that I read all during season 1, and I was so excited that a TV show was taking all these risks, and then when none of it paid off, I was like, oh, they're just wasting my time. That was just me getting jaded. But Fringe... Number one, Fringe's deep backstory is, it's not that interesting. So if it is just self-contained, it's interesting enough to watch. It's kind of like House, you know? It's like thing of the week, patient of the week versus monstrous disease of the week, or
Buffy pulled that off.
Exploding brain of the week. I didn't like Buffy until it stopped doing that, honestly.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, I don't know. Apparently there's enough geek out there that is maybe along the general populace that does like that, because I mean it's sustained for quite a while.
Yeah, it's gonna be your sort of hybrid normal geek person.
It's like when you make it too good, now you're starting to run the risk of like
being Firefly all over again.
Yeah, you're secluding.
No, there's a business model they have to keep in mind, but it's a sad one. It makes things mediocre. I have a feeling that like Joss is wounded. He's been burned too many times. And so he's not going to take the risks he would have taken.
I don't understand why he went back to Fox at all if he's been fucked over already.
He claims
I just don't understand
that it's completely different people. Every single person that fucked over Firefly is gone.
whatever.
And that everyone there is very eager to work with him. But so far, it's been going the same
way. Are you telling me there was nobody on the sci-fi channel that wanted his stuff?
I don't think they could afford it.
It's just, I don't, how could they afford Battlestar in that case?
Josh knew the numbers because of his friend that worked on it. He said that primarily it was the actors that were too expensive, but the CG was nuts expensive.
Really?
Yeah.
For Firefly.
Yeah, but he said the actors were also, they had an ensemble cast of a lot of highly paid people. So, not highly, but highly for what they were, like, for a sci-fi show, they would have been making way less than they were making on Fox. Mm-hmm. But the problem was Fox paid more, so they didn't think they could say, okay, now we're going to sci-fi and you all get 30% of your salary or something.
Yeah, it just seems, yeah, I guess that does seem kind of weird. Because the guys who, once Firefly was gone, that studio went on to do all the work for CSI.
I thought they did Battlestar. Zoic?
They did, yeah, they do Battlestar, but they... But between that, between Firefly and Battlestar, there's this big gap in between. They were doing all the stuff for CSI.
They're a fantastic studio.
They are.
Because they were supposed to be cheap amongst what was available, and their work was above film quality on every episode.
I met their studio, or one of the I guess he's a producer or studio head for that place at a 3D convention.
Oh, yeah?
Here. The guy was totally rad and cool. His story was really interesting because he was just, like, a Mongol that was, like, friends with Joss and worked with him, I guess, during the Buffy period, the early Buffy period. So he was, like, a little runaround.
The terrible CG period?
Well, yeah, because they didn't really have CG for the most part. It was just, like, scrapped together whatever they could. But he was like the guy who'd run around, like basically a troll getting coffee or doing this, doing that. But I mean, he did do other stuff, and apparently he hit it off with Joss, and they started talking about musicals and how much they both love musicals and da 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 da. And then he helped him lean towards like, hey, we're going to need a, you know, we're going to be doing this, you know, the show Firefly, and we're going to need some people to throw this thing together because it's going to require lots of CG, not just, you know, fucking half-assed vampires vanishing away.
They accomplished amazing things. And until Battlestar's CG kind of sucked there in the middle, I was extremely impressed with theirs. And then they cut back and it all got kind of crappy.
Yeah, you could tell they definitely pulled back on some of it.
They seem to have recovered from that. Well, all of the stuff that happened on the Cylon base stars was terrible.
I'm sure the way that Battlestar is all spread out, that it had to have fucked with scheduling. And CSI, if they're still doing the work for that, which I'm pretty sure they do, that's a very much more consistent show scheduling. So they're like, all right, we got to cram in like three shows here. And when I used to talk to some of the guys that worked at DNA Studios, when they worked on television stuff, they literally have to turn that shit around within a week.
Yeah.
And that's asking a lot.
No, I know. Speaking of Battlestar, so Battlestar coming back, the new figures are showing that it's gained 32% over the last time it was on the air when you take into account DVR audiences, which why don't they take that into account constantly always? We're still watching the show.
That's weird.
Because the Nielsen people are retarded.
That's just the most broken system. That's like healthcare. That makes no sense. Saying that one suburban white family equals 11 million viewers, you know, because you all watch things the same. Fuck you.
It's funny because they only hit the areas that really don't matter as much. Like, we were over at Josh's. There was mail there for Rick, and there was an envelope from the Nielsen rating.
Was Rick
system.
A Nielsen?
I think so. Or his house was listed for that. I don't know if he actually did all that. And I'm wondering if it was because he had a Replay TV, and if that had anything to do with it. Like,
well,
those older.
I think I've said this before, but my stance on that, honestly, I know that DirecTV and TiVo and everyone else I've ever had a DVR with are perfectly capable of knowing everything I watch. Knowing when I pause, knowing when I fast forward. You know what? I don't really consider that an invasion of privacy if it means my TV watching voice is heard, but they don't use the information. That is not how ratings are determined.
No, they need it from old school, you know, I need you to fill out this form. And
or the few people that have a Nielsen box. So the deal is, you know, more people than not have some kind of digital cable box or satellite TV or TiVo. you're only the only people that don't are either still plugging a cable straight into their old TV or getting it over the air.
But you pretty much can't do that anymore.
So fuck all those guys and take everyone with digital cable and with satellite and call us the ratings and count each person.
I'm kind of curious how that's going to work now because everybody has to switch over to essentially digital cable boxes now.
No, cable still works. Analog cable still works.
Direct into the TV?
Yeah. As long as your provider is still providing it. Analog cable has nothing to do with over the air.
Well, see, I was reading on a forum because I tried doing that because I have BIOS. And you can't do that with their signal. Their signal's scrambled. So you can't, like, directly out of the wall into
That's the same
TV.
As satellite.
Their shit?
Yeah, they're sending an encoded bit stream. You have to have their box to watch it.
Well, I'm just curious.
That's completely different technology.
Just from the standpoint of like, most people are switching over to some form of box of some kind.
Yeah, you have to. But your cable company's going to phase out analog cable too. I mean, it's going to cost them too much to keep both systems going.
Well, that's what I'm saying. At some point, the rating system's going to get all fucked up.
Oh yeah, no. They're going to have. But see, here's the deal.
Because if you don't have a box or
doing away with that,
if you do have a box, you need another box to run it to.
Doing away with that entirely and moving over to a system where each and every person with a digital cable box vote gets counted is a matter of software and deployment. It's not a matter of like creating a new infrastructure, because you'll notice, like in the Super Bowl, TiVo will say, "Hey, the number one most paused moment." All right, TiVo. If you know the number one most paused moment in the Super Bowl, then you know every fucking other thing I'm watching. You know that I'm watching Good Eats at 4 in the morning. I mean, you know that. So use that information to keep good shows on the air. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, speaking of Super Bowl then, I don't know if this is part of the links. Did you hear about the pornography that happened during the Super Bowl?
No.
You didn't?
No.
Okay,
I don't even know who's playing in the Super Bowl.
Okay, well,
what is Super Bowl?
Eli? What is this Super Bowl?
It's they bring out this giant silver, like shiny polished bowl into every city. They put it in the downtown.
Shut up! What are you talking about?
Okay, so apparently, well, not apparently, there is video of this, and you can Google it and find it. And I don't have the article in front of me, but it's very simple. Basically, only, and this is like one of the highest areas where the Super Bowl was watched was in Tucson, Arizona.
Uh-huh.
Well, because the Arizona Cardinals were in the Super Bowl. So apparently, only a certain group of Comcast viewers were interrupted by porn.
Cool.
And it was like...
Was it like a bonus? Like, this game's boring. Here's some porn.
No, this is basically... No, and it was at the, it couldn't have happened at the worst moment for Comcast. Comcast flipped the fuck out over this. And they are actually thinking, like, I don't know if you also heard about the hackers that hacked into
Mm-mm.
the Texas road signs.
Oh, the zombies?
Yeah, the zombies ahead.
That's awesome.
Okay. Well, so during the Super Bowl, it was like Arizona was losing. They throw a touchdown pass to, like, one of the Arizona dudes. He runs, like, for 60 yards and scores a touchdown. And, like, they're showing all this on the TV. And they're like, oh, my God, that's unbelievable. And then, like, the screen sort of stopped and started to pixelate. And then... porn, or it was like there's a chick on her knees and there's a dude leaning back in his couch and someone's giving her directions like, let's go ahead and slap it around a little, go ahead,
it's Tyler Durden at work.
And essentially, and like the guy stands up and pulls down his pants and like flops his junk around.
That's awesome.
And then that's it, and then it pixelates back up and it unfreeze frames and it goes back to the football game. And apparently only Comcast users in Tucson, Arizona were the only people who saw this.
Well, that's a bonus.
And they put a huge, like, obviously apology out because, like, everyone's, like, hugging each other, high-fiving because Arizona's catching up now. Because
you know, that's just that guy's end zone dance is to broadcast porn to millions of families.
He's like, ah, and he stops and pulls out his little, like, he pulls out
a BlackBerry. He's like, beep, 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 beep.
Little programming.
Oh,
uploads. There was actually no real porn. Like,
a cock is porn.
Well, yeah, there was that.
There's floppy dongs. floppy dongs. Then but, that's enough.
Yeah. So they put out this huge apology letter, and they're going after whoever did this if they can find out who did it.
That is awesome.
It was pretty funny.
I hope that guy gets away forever.
Somebody on the chat asks, was there an apology to the people who didn't get it?
Right.
They're like, hey, wait a minute.
We want to issue a statement.
I pay my cable.
We are deeply sorry that we were not able to provide high-quality pornography interludes for all Super Bowl viewers.
I'm surprised it wasn't as big of a story. I guess they really tried to like smother it. I wouldn't have heard about it at all until I heard about it on the radio. And I was like, holy shit, that happened? And then they were like, oh, it was very isolated.
That's nuts. They'd be like, dude, bro, did you get the porn? No! What'd you get? I got a porn, bro.
That's pretty much what happened. A lot of people thought that it was like happening to their house specific. Like somehow somebody was fucking with their cable at their house.
Like there's a guy splicing in a VHS tape of porn on
the
roof.
Yeah, in the background or something, you know. And it's like, dude, and you gotta adjust the tracking. The tracking.
Yeah.
Hit the tracking. There you go. But yeah, and then other people were like, well, whoa, wait a minute, what? And then like Comcast puts out a huge apology letter. They're like, oh, fuck, that actually did happen. Nice.
Huh.
So anyway, yep.
That's good. Just a quick mention while I swallow this taco.
You said something about dicks.
You said a thing about dicks.
Yeah, you said a thing about dicks.
So I know me and Josh are. Did you guys watch, are you big fans of Dead Like Me?
I've never seen it.
No, you're both stupid. So,
although didn't we see it on sale at Best Buy or something?
There was a Super Bowl commercial for it, and I saw it in
Well, here's the deal.
The DVD.
Dead Like Me is a fantastic show. It only lasted for three seasons, which is actually like 2.5 seasons. It's great. And they just did a direct-to-DVD movie. Even though it does not feature Brian Fuller, who did Dead Like Me and Wonder Falls and Pushing Daisies.
I thought we already talked about this.
Josh mentioned it. I looked it up, and I put a link here. So I just want to tell everyone to pick it up or get the show off Netflix or buy the DVDs. It's great. Josh isn't here, but I got him to phone in his answer on what he thinks of Gamefly buying Shaq News.
Wait, what? When did that happen?
Yesterday?
This past week.
Shit, I didn't hear about that. That's huge.
I'm not even 100% sure what Shaq News is. Is it just a forum?
No, they also have, you can get videos, you can get demos.
Pretty big deal.
But is it all user created or is there actually a service?
No. It's like you become a member of Shaq and you can download, like, basically you get faster access to game demos of actual real products, videos. I mean, they're essentially their own little, like, internet. You know, provider.
I will say this though.
They kind of are an internet provider.
Their forum
part.
Threading system is impossible to understand.
It is.
It's dumb.
It's just line upon line upon line with no breaks, no structure. Like it's impossible to understand. I hate it. So we'll get to that.
Not get it.
We'll get to that in the. Calm down, Christian. We'll get to that in the questions. A couple things left. Number one. I know some of you guys listening are in the UK. New anti-porn laws in the UK could potentially make some comic books pornography.
Better luck next time!
Because apparently it applies to violence, too. And here's what sucks. They've done the same thing that American legislators do, where they tack on something extremely unfriendly onto a very innocuous bill called the Criminal Justice and Immigration Act. There's a part of that that says possessing any extreme image produced solely or principally for the purpose of sexual arousal is illegal. Possessing pornography is illegal. That's insanity. That if that passes, then
sad.
I mean they're already being watched 24/7 by cameras. They're already a surveillance state. If that passes, then they're basically talking like thought crime. That's 1984.
This is why V for Vendetta happens.
Exactly.
In England.
Exactly. So what they're saying is comic fans are nervous, wondering whether they're reading different issues of Batman than we are, I guess it says. Some of the comics that would be considered pornography would be Wanted, Batman the Killing Joke, The Watchmen, The Punisher... Lost Girls, there's boobies in that. And dicks.
There's a lot of violence, too.
And dicks. But my question is, are they saying that violence causes sexual arousal? Or are they saying that these comics all have boobs
does,
in them?
It does for me.
Okay.
So just to be clear,
so
violence gives me a boner.
Well, mine,
don't go to England.
Mine's different is where after I get a boner, then I have to commit violence.
Oh.
To get rid of it.
You're just weird.
Like I have to kill a hooker.
Your stabbing makes you want to go stab.
Yes. When I feel the stab in my pants, I have to stab for real.
Oh, God, I hate everybody.
So.
Everybody.
Here's the specific subsections of the law that are in question here. An act which threatens a person's life is considered one of these things. An act which threatens a person's life. So like a comic book pointing a gun at somebody. An act which results or is likely to result in serious injury to a person's anus, breast, or genitals. A kick in the balls, a kick in the ass, or potential, I don't know, like what? Sodomy with a crowbar or something. Who had to write that law? An act which results or is likely to result in serious injury to a person's anus. This is likely to result in serious injury to my anus. Well, stop doing it. I can't. I have to. It's a compulsion.
What the fuck is wrong with these people?
That's nuts. If that passes, then I'm terrified.
Move
for
to
the
America.
World.
Hang out.
No, because we'll have show. It next year.
Now with Obama in power.
Yes, that's true. He does like anus damage comics.
Dude, he's black.
He reads anus damage comics. That's a whole other. It's an imprint of DC. Right. It's like Vertigo. It's
he's a
anus damage.
Minority shareholder and all that.
And anus damage, yeah. That's true.
He's a minority?
Yes. Well, he can't be a majority shareholder because he's black.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I think that's how it works. I'm not sure. Like when they say the House Minority Leader, I think they're talking about all the black guys.
Right, exactly.
There's only like two.
House of Reps in.
Right, right, right. So, one of the guys in the forum says X-Men Savaged Anus Team.
Oh, that's just wrong.
That's good. Next thing. Last thing. Before we get to the mail sack. Apparently, Black Dynamite, the film whose director or producer befriended Denise on MySpace.
Woo-hoo!
Because of the podcast where we basically said, hey, Black Dynamite, and then put a link. Somehow that made it all the way back to the guys that made Black Dynamite. I thought it was going to be something like, you know, a Black Puppet movie. What was that?
I told you it was a big
Black
deal.
Devil Doll. Black Devil Doll. Turns out it's like a big deal. Apparently it got like really good buzz at Sundance, and it's getting money, and...
It got money?
Yeah, it's getting paid. So, anyway, Black Dynamite peeps... if you want to be on the podcast, let us know.
He does.
Do.
What?
He does. I told you. I told you.
Why haven't
I
you
already...
set it up?
What? You were like, eh, it's not real.
Oh, I thought it, because I thought it was BS. I didn't know it was legit.
No, no. He was like, no, I asked him, like, do you want to do an interview sometime? We can set it up probably.
Okay,
and he's like,
set it up before it gets too busy.
Fuck.
Do it, Denise.
Dude, that would be
I
huge.
I gotta do everything around here.
Be our first superstar since the director of Black Devil Doll.
That's true. That movie never came out, did it?
No, I keep going back to it. It still hasn't come out yet. Apparently, they ran into all kinds of...
I'm a motherfucking puppet.
Apparently, they may have run into some... I don't know.
Now show me them titties.
Hopefully, it'll make its way out. I mean, that dude was cool. And the other dude
was
cool.
Yeah, they were actually a lot of fun.
No, I mean, it was awesome. I just wish it would have come out so I could have seen it.
They were fun dudes, and...
I don't know if I
they're probably hanging out with Michael Phelps, if you know what I mean.
Peeing on people.
What? Oh, yeah, that's right. That puppet was peeing on that chick.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know if I want to see that ever.
They just sold the movie for $2 million at Sundance to the jive motherfuckers at Sony. That's what this article says.
But we are going to... Oh, fuck. Damn, they're worth a lot.
$2 million now. They're too big for us. We lost
is
our
it
chance.
Too late?
We could have gotten a piece of that, but we lost our chance. Denise dropped the ball.
Don't even!
Hijinks
and
Sue presents.
I was pushing for that. Oh, god
nah,
damn
you.
You
fucked it. You lost it.
God damn you all.
Oh, well, moving on to the mail sack.
Mail sack, mail sack, mail, mail, mail.
Mail sack. Again, I preface this by saying...
This is going to be a f***ing disaster.
And we can't get to all of your questions. Please don't feel bad. Some of the reasons we don't answer your questions is either because we're not prepared for them.
Joel hates you.
Or because I think we wouldn't talk about them. Some topics I just
shit.
Never seem to get a response.
Bag of shit.
That too.
I'm the greatest man in the world.
After this, we'll be doing the post show, and to get access to the post show, check out vault.hijinksandsue.com, make a small donation, or a donation subscription to keep the Hijinks and Sue dream alive, and get access to desktop wallpapers, behind the scenes art, and podcast post shows. There's probably a good 20 or 30 of them in there now. anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour of extra podcast. Also, typically a bit looser.
Because of the interest, it'll be worth billions of dollars.
Than the actual show.
Oh, I like money.
That's the idea.
While you read the questions.
And hijinksusstore.com for shirts and prints.
Yes, and maybe we'll make a new shirt about Christian Bale. While you go through the questions real quick, I'm going to give a real quick suggestion, or what are we calling it?
A recommendation.
The H-E-R, what we'll call it.
Her. Hijinks and Sue recommends.
Yeah.
What are you recommending?
This is my her. That Dewey awful. Cox story of whatever.
Yeah.
I'd never seen it.
That was my recommendation like a month ago.
Well, I'm re-herring her.
Re-wrecking it?
Yeah, I'm going to re-her.
Re-reco?
It. Saw it. There's a lot of man dick flopping around in there.
That movie is great.
That's a terrible recommendation.
Everything about that movie is fantastic.
It's pretty goddamn funny, I have to say. Like, I never saw it because I was like, okay, dude, seriously, I've already seen this. I've seen fucking Talladega Nights. I've seen fucking Old School. I've seen all these movies now. I don't need to
see
this one.
Walk Hard is better than all of those.
Walk Hard was pretty great.
Yeah.
It was pretty goddamn funny.
John C. Reilly fucking shines in that movie. He is awesome.
I also saw Step Brothers. Did we talk about that last week?
That looked horrible.
It's actually not that bad.
It's not that different from...
It's not that much different from Walk Hard.
Really?
Yeah, it really isn't. It's actually pretty funny because it's got some pretty fucking great quotes in it, and it's just fucking stupid. And like
Dewey Cox was not stupid, though. It was like very well thought out humor. Like,
yeah. I mean,
and you have to be a fan of like music biopics like that, and also of music in general to get like half the jokes.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you
like
have
Malcolm in the Middle playing Buddy Holly. Yeah, that was so good. Great.
You hadn't even seen
Walk the Line, and I thought
she hasn't seen like most.
Okay, you need to see Walk the Line and then go
whatever.
Watch that again.
No, it's actually still pretty funny because the only
but there's a lot more.
No, I know, but her sister told me about that movie, and I was like, yeah, I'll probably enjoy it, but I was like, eh, put it on the back burner, not that highly interested just yet.
Kid died.
I saw Step Brothers first, actually, which was just funny because there's stupid shit in there, like a cappella Guns N' Roses, Paradise City. That was pretty awesome. Like, I mean, just stupid shit like that.
ISIS Red in the forum points out Jack White is Elvis. That was also great.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I can chop a man in half.
You know, only two people can do karate. The Chinese and the King.
And the King.
And I'm one of them.
Now, watch out, man!
Like that, and like the machete scene with the dad. I'm not giving any spoilers away, but he's like, as I lay here in front of you, I now realize
how easy
it is to cut a man in half with a machete. Like, it's not really what I was expecting him to say, but it was pretty funny.
That was so great.
So, and I know...
Before Dewey Cox goes on stage, he has to think about his entire life. Dude, he was good in that too. Tim Meadows?
Yeah.
Dude, you don't want none of this shit. It's reefer. And he's like, oh man, does it give you a bad hangover?
No.
It feels great.
It makes sex better. Yeah.
You get addicted to it? No, you can't get addicted. It must be really expensive. It's the cheapest drug there is. I think I do want some of this shit.
After he said that, I'm like, I kind of want some too.
It's the cheapest drug there is. That's
awesome.
The funniest thing in the whole movie.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And he's talking about cocaine. He goes, that's it. Give me some of that cocaine. He's like, you don't want this shit. He goes, what brings him to say? He says, like, does it make it so you can't get your dick hard? And he's like, no, it makes sex better.
Yeah.
It's like, I think I do want some of this shit.
Yeah, by the end, it's just, it's Viagra.
So good.
It makes your dick hard for 4 hours. And then what? Then you go get more chicks. Or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's I Apatow is like all over everything.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he's not producing this fucking podcast. That guy's everywhere.
If he is, I need to know about it.
It'd be great. We give him credit and then we'll become famous.
Oh my God.
This is a Judd Apatow production.
Oh, I'd happily say that every 5 minutes. to get in his little circle of friends.
Do we have to have Seth Rogen in here too? Because he's in everything.
That's a concession I'll make. Jonah Hill can be in the show.
Dude, that fucking Jonah Hill's everywhere also, showing up as the older version of
the
brother.
Yes, his brother.
And he's like, quit being a little bitch.
Goddamn, do your pussy.
That guy's fucking, you know how hard it is to masturbate as a ghost? You can't do it.
I have ghost hands.
That's so great. Next thing. Okay, so first question in the mail sack. This is from Drom, who is actually at New York Comic Con right now.
Shit.
What hobbies, fandoms, or interest of yours would you hold an enormous con for, either for your own enjoyment or for the opportunity to point and laugh at sad sex? See, I guess the question is, because Comic Cons pretty much take up most of my immediate interests, so what else is there that you would have a con for that you don't already have a con for? And every kind of movie and TV is covered, so...
I would only want it to be more accessible to me, because they're less and less
down here. Yeah, that's true, actually.
Everyone keeps asking me, like, are you going to Comic Con? Are you going to Comic Con? Like, no, it would cost me $2,000 just to get there.
We would need another fundraiser.
And then it would be like... The tables sometimes are in the thousands.
Yeah, they are.
I don't know.
Can't think of anything else that's
If it had to be specific, the only thing I can think of is having an enormous shitty movie night.
Mike mentions Baycon, which would be the bacon convention.
Wow, that's weak.
I'd do that.
That's weak, Mike. No, if I could do a shitty movie night where I could have a giant projector and... Just put it on the side of the wall.
Dude, we could do that. We could do... Listen.
No, but... Listen. And it costing nothing.
No, I'm calling it now. Because Scott Johnson, who does the Extra Life Radio podcast, I've listened to it a couple of times. Turns out he does an annual thing for his listeners called the Nerdtacular, where he gets permission to show a movie. And like one year it was Batman, the next year whatever... But all of his like fans come down, and they all get in the theater together. They fill up a whole movie theater and watch a movie together. Well, why can't we? It'd be easier to get rights to show a shitty movie.
We want to show,
and then just mic us.
We want to show Frankenfish, and they're like, yeah,
all right,
$16
bucks.
They're like, that dude's dead. Oh, so it's cool. It's cool. We do it then.
Yeah, go ahead.
Fuck, I don't care,
dude. That'd be so easy. We just have to get a space, sell tickets. Get a movie, get rights to show it on a projector, and then get a mic and some PA and just make fun of it, and then
that would be fun. I mean, I would probably have fun doing that.
That'd be the beginnings of the HE Con, the Hexpo.
Hey, that would be pretty right on.
Because then 5 years later, it'd be a real con,
right? And then a year after that, we'd have to shut it down.
Yeah, it'd be too big. We'd lose
a
lot of money.
Yeah, and then we would be a real con. But the only reason I say that is because when we had the big birthday bash, we watched the What's Your Nuts with One Eye.
It was actually called One Eye.
Yeah.
they call her One Eye.
Right. The actual inspiration for The Matrix and Kill Bill.
Holy shit, dude. You know what would be great for that?
I would love
to put another projector. You put two more projectors on the wall with IRC rooms and let the people there live chat.
With anybody who couldn't make it?
But also... Since you don't want people just shouting out, like, 500 people shouting out at a screen because you wouldn't hear it, they can post their comments and have it scroll up the wall as we're watching the movie.
That would be pretty. That would actually
maybe they
be
could
cool.
Text it. We could figure out a way to let them text it in, too.
Yeah.
That'd be sweet.
That would be fun. I mean, that one evening that we all did that, and it was totally experimental and,
And I'm not talking about... They're talking about how hard it is to rent a theater. I'm not talking about renting a theater, just a space.
Yeah.
We'll all sit on the floor. We'll get pillows. We'll get a projector.
Popcorn.
It would probably
be... Yeah, snacks.
It could probably be as easy as going to, like...
Just a convention room.
I was going to say, like,
a hotel convention room.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. A hotel convention room one evening, and we're all packed in there. And may not be the coolest thing, but, hey, whatever. But it was very similar to what we did here, which, we just filled up your living room and...
That never happened. Don't talk about that.
I'm talking about...
That was illegal.
Chick with one eye.
Don't talk about that. That was illegal.
No, we weren't watching anything. But whatever. Then we were making fun of...
There was a chick with one eye in your living room.
No, she was actually there.
I absolved myself of this conversation.
But that would actually be kind of cool.
That would be awesome. And if we could get permission to broadcast it on the internet for people that couldn't be there. You pick a shitty enough movie, I bet it ain't that hard.
Yeah, it couldn't be that tough.
I bet it ain't that hard. Dude, you know what we could do? We could pick a movie.
Whatever.
We could pick a movie so bad that we could actually watch it a few times and actually go ahead and script it out and do a live MST, just like Cinematic Titanic.
Possibly. Do you know those guys are doing that now? They're doing live.
We went to it.
Riff Tracks. No.
Oh, Riff Tracks.
The actual Riff Track guys are doing it on Ustream.
And are you serious?
Yeah, and it...
How are they showing the movies?
I have no idea, but it totally destroyed their site. So many people went to it. Their server, their whole shit fell apart.
Wow.
I was following it on Twitter. And actually, Rick is the one who sent me that. It was a Cinematic Titanic. It was a Riff Track. I don't know.
We're doing this. Within the next year, we're doing this.
Well, we've got a full year to plan it.
Maybe not for 2009, but it'll happen by 2010.
It could happen in 2010.
Within 12 months. Within 18 months.
It could happen summer of 2010.
Okay. Within 18 months, we have to have the first mini Hexpo.
It could happen. Hey, you know what? There's a couple places actually in downtown Plano that are like, maybe I could just talk
to you. Dude, we could probably rent out the Angelica if we sold enough tickets. Of course.
That's a lot.
Does a normal...
No, I'd rather make it very warehouse.
Yeah, that's true.
And make it just...
That would be fun.
Grassroots.
Then we would just have to figure out like events. Like there'd have to be like wiffle ball soccer.
You should just do it at Rick's house.
No, you know what? I have photographer friends that have studios that would probably be willing to rent it out for really dirt ass cheap.
But for how many people? Are you talking 30 or 40? Or could we fit like 200 in there?
I don't know that we'd have 200.
You plan it far ahead enough, and people will come from Oklahoma, Louisiana.
I don't know.
Portugal.
If the studio gear is all down, yeah, we might be able to have like a table like this.
The problem would be like the permits, noise, alcohol, that kind of thing.
It's a photography studio.
No, I mean doing it legitimately, not getting arrested for having a...
That's part of the experience.
You can do BYOB. And I know a lot of places in town to do that. There's like
plenty of time to plan.
There's like these little party groups that get shit together and they are all like, you have to bring your own shit. We're not responsible after 2 o'clock.
See, here's the thing. Here's what we'll do. Here's how we'll help because you're talking about this in the room. We will organize through the site... A road trip crew. So the person coming from the farthest away will pick up someone on the way.
That you know what's going to happen with that? Exactly what happened to Eli's VHS tapes.
We're going to lose.
Yeah, we'll lose.
Somebody's going to get lost, get left
behind.
They'll
never get home.
In like the middle of Arizona or something.
Yeah. No, there'll be people left in the warehouse when it's over. They're like, I don't know how to get home.
Well, you know what? Southwest flies into Dallas and most of our readers are in an area with Southwest. It's got to be cheap enough.
All right. Well, we'll talk more about this. Let's move on.
But hopefully that answers your question.
So that's the con we want to do. Ours.
Thanks for asking.
I'm going to read this just to stroke my own ego. This is from Under the Dark. Joel, you have such an awesome and evocative voice.
Oh,
thank
God.
You. Thank you. Really. Thank you. I know you've mentioned auditioning for voice work. Have you actually worked in that field? Yes. Have you considered doing audiobooks or voice transcription? Sure. If the opportunity presented itself. I think it's funny because there's another question on here too where we've talked about it before. People say like, why don't you go fly Zeppelins or something like you can just do any job you want, you know? Getting that kind of work is actually just as hard as getting acting work, it turns out. And in many cases harder because they have a much smaller talent pool that they pull from. So but yes, if anyone listening would like to contact me about doing audiobooks or voice transcription for the blind, I'd be happy to. Sounds like a blast. This is the same question, honestly. This is from Trouble Ticket. Since the podcast now has an official theme song, the soundboard is professional. That's funny.
It is.
And sounds like something you'd hear on XM, apparently. Have you ever thought about trying to find a job in radio? You'd probably start low on the pole, but seriously, you'd make money. No. Radio, I think, is the saddest piece of shit entertainment available to anyone. I've never heard anything worse than people talking on talk radio.
Oh.
My God.
I'd probably disagree, but...
You know, you like sports talk radio. That's different. I'm talking about jackholes that are like, this is BJ and the boner face and Kim the slut, and we're going to talk to blah, 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 woo, woo. Like, that kind of shit. That's on every station in America, and it is horrible.
No, yeah, that's Clear Channel for you.
Yes. Clear Channel. The Clear Channel scenario of entertainment is just terrible.
Oh, so I can't have that handle then? Kim the Slut?
Kim the Slut, yeah. And I'm, what did we say? BJ and the Boner?
Yeah, I'm Harry Balls.
God damn it.
No, all you do is play the sound effects. We're like, well, was that Harry? Like, it's just lowbrow humor. I also, the thing that's freeing about the internet is I can say whatever the fuck I want until that changes.
It is true.
And you
true.
Can't say anything on the radio.
You'd be surprised.
I don't consider Howard Stern funny.
No, I don't.
No,
either.
I hate that guy.
And people be like, no, he can say anything he wants. No, I just think he's not funny at all. I think he's been doing the same shtick for 20 years.
No.
I don't even find him offensive.
It's shock jock to the people who find that shocking, which isn't a lot of people anymore.
It ain't funny.
It's actually... Yeah, I listen to talk radio, and it is sports talk radio, but they really don't talk a lot of sports because I think they've realized that sports is boring.
Right.
And people don't want to listen to people talk about sports all the time. They talk about, it's funny, but I've taken a page out of what those guys do and bring it here because they talk about, they have segments that are like, what do you have on your TiVo? They ask athletes, so what is on your TiVo? Like, sure, you hit the ball great. That's good. We already know that. You make $4 million a year.
Right.
So what do you do? Like, where do you go to eat? You know, what do you do this and that? And they bring in musicians, and they do a lot of stuff that is actually what pisses off a lot of their base audience, where they're like, dude, you guys don't talk enough sports. And they're like,
because suck it.
They were like the three.
Suck it, one eye.
They're like the three shows before has talked about the same goddamn thing. I don't want to talk about it. Like, if you weren't listening earlier, then too bad. And they've gotten very successful at it. And actually, I've learned a lot about... It's funny, I emailed their guy who runs their audio board and asked him questions. And he was really cool and was like, yeah, you can do this, you can do that. Try checking out this, try checking out that. And I was like,
Johnny Ace claims, and this is probably not true because it seems too not true, that if it's less than 3 seconds long, you can use a clip.
No.
No, that seems wrong.
I emailed that guy about very specific things, and he emailed me back with links for legal stuff and was like, read all this stuff, and you'll be cool if you read all this stuff.
We've talked about this before, but my point is, like, okay, I would not personally. I've always had a dream of doing sort of what we're doing. One of the things I've always wanted to do is, for lack of a better word, radio, I guess. I did a very small amount of radio, just a couple of appearances on a local show in high school, and I was kind of immediately in love with it. Just talking, you know, to people over microphone, airwaves, internet waves, whatever. That said, I wouldn't start over as like a page at a radio station because I've already got my own show. Why?
Well, yeah, everybody has their own show.
Right. But this provides me the outlet that I'm looking for. Why would I take 100 steps back to do it the corporate legitimate way? Someday this podcast will make money. Someday the audience will be more than 2,000 people. And I would keep doing it if it never did.
I think that would just be, if you were going to do that, it would just be a way to get listeners here faster.
I don't have any interest in traditional media like that. To me, it's just, I want to help it die.
It still works. It still works, and it still works.
I would go on a radio show and interview about this and talk about the comic and the podcast.
It's so hateful.
But I wouldn't go join one and be like, I want to be a part of your morning zoo crew.
But what if... There was, because XM is...
I'd do it on XM. I wouldn't do it on a Clear Channel station.
XM is, well, yeah, obviously. But XM is kind of a internet form of doing it because it is a little more exclusive and you have a little more freedom to do this, do that. What if there was a geek-centric...
Yeah, I'd do it. I'd have a really hard time not saying fuck a lot and not saying horrible...
But it's XM.
Terrifying things.
Well, it is controlled still by the...
The FCC still controls it, yeah. Decency still applies.
You know what? Okay.
The idea that there's a such thing as decency is what makes me mad.
It would still work. You'd have to like really adjust a lot of the things we do, but it would be a lot like Arrested Development. You can imply a lot of things.
Yeah, but we would not be able to write that stuff ahead of time, and like we would end up saying balls. Like,
I think between the three of us.
Also, Josh couldn't be there.
Yeah, no.
He could not come. He'd have to be on a 14-second delay.
Just him, though.
Yeah, just him. He'd be in an isolation booth underwater on a delay, and we'd say, what do you think about that, Josh? He'd say it. The censors would listen to it, cut out every third word, run it through a filter, chop it all up, put it back together, and then spit it out to us. And it would go, I think it good.
Show's over.
I could have it.
You know, if this could be balls. My full-time gig, when we first started this podcast, I thought it would just be extra content for the website.
And that's got its own life now.
No, it's totally got its own life because we don't even talk about your comic on this podcast.
But we never did.
No, we never did, and I guess that
was the point.
Yeah.
The point was that this is different entertainment than the comic. It's not a show about the comic.
No, I know. And it's just, I guess going in initially, I didn't know really what this was going to amount to. And it actually does feel a little bit like its own like life. It's funny because I was talking, Alex was IMing me about this, and he's like, he's really gotten into it. And hey, what's up, bro? Because he's listening.
Oh, okay.
He said he listens to this and at some points wants to call in. Because he's like, what the fuck? They're talking about this. I'm going to fucking call in right goddamn.
Tell him to call you. We'll put your phone on speaker. And
he can't. But he, in other
he
words.
He doesn't watch live
if
streaming.
If this was like live radio.
Oh, well, let him live radio it then.
No. But
why
not,
can't he watch it
you're
live?
You're not getting the point. If you wanted to get on radio and you're what you're claiming is a dying media, there are people who still listen at work.
Oh, I know. I'm saying I don't. Hear this. That's not one of my aspirations. I would rather it be on the internet. I'm okay with giant sponsors. I'm okay with, you know, Hygiene Soup Podcast brought to you, as always, by Netflix. I mean.
And Miller Lite.
That, fine. I don't even drink, and I would do that. Brought to you by pot. Like, I don't care. I'll compromise all my values if I could do this as a full-time gig. And I'll say this right now. The comic has about a 5 times larger audience than the podcast, but I would take either. I'd still do both, but I would take either as a full-time gig. If
I would love to make this a full-time gig and had a real
studio and a producer.
Yeah,
and all
but
that.
As much as I put into this, I would love to be able to do that because apparently there's enough people that want to listen to what we have to say because we're not on our high horses except you.
Not just me and Josh.
That
Josh just doesn't listen.
And kind of Denise now, but
she's a bitch.
Yeah.
Is she here? Okay.
But yeah.
This like if Revision 3 approached me and said, we listen to your show, we like it, we want to produce it, I'd be like, great, let's do it. I'm not moving to San Francisco,
what
but let's
fuck?
Do it.
Hey, it's real delayed there, Christian. Pushed you like 3 minutes ago.
What the fuck are you
yeah, so
doing?
If any, so if anybody knows anybody at Revision 3 that wants to sponsor the
they
show.
They want to get us on the air, like, or want
know.
To produce the
Let button. Me know. Because I'll
be nice
do
to,
it.
Yeah.
Because I'd keep doing the comic and let it grow still, but I'd take the podcast elsewhere and take it big time until it crashed and burned.
It would be fun because, I don't know, it just is. But enough stroking our own giant
okay.
junk.
Yeah.
I don't have one of those.
A giant junk? Mm-mm. I'm sorry. Eddie says, what book or graphic novel would you adapt to a film with unlimited budget? Directors, stars, what?
I don't know if Denise's
is already getting done.
My back hurts.
That wasn't the answer to the question.
Sorry, what?
Did you not hear the question at all?
I did.
What book or graphic novel would you adapt into a movie with unlimited budget? And I suggested that perhaps yours is already being done by HBO.
Yeah, I mean... That kind of makes me nervous because the series isn't even finished yet. So, and I was a little disappointed with the last book. So it's hard to see where that's gonna end.
And we're talking about Song of Ice and Fire,
right? And also HBO seems to have a history of kind of cutting short a lot of their really solid good series because they don't have enough ratings, like not enough people watch them, even though they're. Spectacular.
I'm interested in HBO shows, but I'm not going to pay $13
exactly.
a month.
Exactly. I mean, that's how most people feel, really. I mean, nobody will argue that their stuff is maybe the best produced stuff on TV, but nobody wants to pay extra for it. So
you know they're potentially going to bring HBO, all of HBO, to Netflix for an extra $10 a month? I also wouldn't pay that. but like Netflix streaming. They would put just HBO.
It's just, I wish they would just focus on their shows and just do away with movies altogether. Because when they show movies, they show it over and over and over.
See, that's what's weird is HBO became almost a just network channel because they started producing like really good shows.
And, that would have been awesome if
Showtime typically has like one show that they're like really pushing, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, even then, HBO still has them trumped like heads over tails, usually. And so I'm kind of scared because I never watched either, but I heard that Rome and Deadwood both were basically cut short and they're just dead now, even though everybody who watched
Deadwood.
It. Right. Everybody loved, you know, both shows, everybody who watched them. So kind of afraid that that's what's going to happen to these books. But I mean, hey, it's better than nothing. I'll watch some Dragons.
I would like to see adapted. I read a book and then also found out that it was later or previously adapted into a graphic novel. I don't know which came first. But it's by Clive Barker. It's called The Thief of Always, and it's for like middle school kids.
I've heard about that.
It's awesome. I loved that book. It's about this kid who like doesn't like his family or doesn't like his life or something. And this crazy weird bastard shows up in his window and he's like, yeah, why don't you come away with me to like a secret house where kids are always happy? And they go to this house where it's like him and like, you know, just a small other group of kids, but like there's lots of good fantasy elements. There's lots of good almost sci-fi elements. Like at one point he accidentally gets turned into like a bat boy or something with giant wings, and he kind of has to deal with that for a while. And the deal was is like the book I read came with Clive Barker's own illustrations, which was, they were just great. And then I saw the graphic novel and it's like all done by Clive Barker and it was fantastic.
Really?
I think it would be a really good like 12 to 14 year old kind of Harry Potter audience novel. Like, look it up on Wikipedia. Kind of read the synopsis. It's called The Thief of Always. It turns out the house is basically evil, and it's trying to take children and like, feed off their life force or something. But, I don't know. It just always stuck with me. It sucks that more of the plot details didn't stick with me. The fact that I liked it so much did. So, that'd be my vote. Eli, anything?
There's a book I read called The Rising.
Hunt for Red October.
Yeah. It's called The Rising, and it's about Bruce Springsteen. No, it's a book by Brian Keene. It's just called Rising. It's not The Rising, but it's Rising. And it's about, like, the basically Doom story where, like, Super Collider, you know, unleashes, like, a third dimension in zombies sort of things take over the world.
Okay.
It's super fast read, like high pace, like, and then this dude died, and then that dude's dead, and then this one guy exploded and a truck hit him, and then the truck exploded. It's a super like fast kind of horrific read.
Okay.
But it's good. And if that was like a HBO miniseries, I would love it. With no superstars. I wouldn't want any superstars in it, just a bunch of nobodies. Then there was a follow up called City of the Dead, which finished up the story. It's just cool because like animals or zombies or tortured souls or something from this third dimension, and basically everybody gets killed and nobody lives, and it's just complete like Doom, like,
wow,
Doom in the sense of like there's no hope.
So it's you read like it, a date movie.
Yeah, exactly. It's, you kind of want to bring the family, you know, go to Walmart, get,
you know,
a little
for kids,
go to Walmart, get a little snack, little something. And then head over to The Rising and watch that at home.
Okay.
Can I just say, while we're talking about zombies, the book club is going great, by the
way. Oh, tell us about that.
Yeah, it's been really exciting. There's some discussions going on in the forum. If you want to find it, it's on goodreads.com. It's the Reading Rainbow Coalition.
And probably the easiest way to find it is to go to hijinksensue.com/forum. Look for the book club thread.
And it's been a lot of fun. I think people are still, you know, in the middle of it, so there's not been too much discussion, but there's been a few that's been really good. So I posted a couple more prompt questions in there.
What's the book? Is it World War Z now? Or?
Yeah, it's World War Z right now. Sorry, I didn't even mention it. But that's another one that I've heard kind of off and on that they're making into a movie, which I would be super 100% behind if they did that.
If it was good.
Because that's one kind of book that would actually translate probably really well into a movie. One of those few books that could do that.
Would it be kind of 28 Days Later style? Or
But to like a global degree.
Oh wow.
Because the zombie plague, it goes worldwide. It infests everybody, like everything.
It's the title.
Right. So you see everything, and if they just took snippets, even if they don't even take it directly from the book, but derive something out of something similar, it would be fine, I think. It's really solid, and it leaves a lot of room open for kind of conjecture, and it's really great. I'm really excited.
So with the book club, what happens? You guys all read it and then you talk about it on Goodreads, or what do you do? What's the end result?
I honestly have never been part of a book club, so I'm just kind of feeling my way through. But yeah, we picked a book out of like four that I posted up there. We voted on it.
Because normally you'd be all in the same room and then you'd like have tea and crumpets and gossip and then not talk about the book.
Right. No, we don't do that. We basically, somebody asked if I'm Oprah. I'm most definitely not.
Dude, wouldn't it be awesome if Denise's book club could like propel books to like selling millions?
It just says D.
Yeah, in the bottom. D.
No, but what we're basically doing right now, I think a lot of people are still in the middle of it. So there's not a whole lot of in-depth discussion, but the people who have read it before have already made a few comments that have been really interesting.
Okay, so here's what you should do. Here's what you should do then when it's over. When everyone's read it, you've all decided it's time to go. Everyone should pose a question to the group based on something that they took from the book.
I've already posted a couple. The last thing I posted was... which was your favorite story in the book? Because the book is composed of a lot of different vignettes. I don't know how to say that word.
Vignette.
Whatever.
It's probably vignette, but in America we say vignette. Because we're slothful and
like
retarded.
Dessert. I thought that was like a sweet dessert.
It is also, yes.
Anyway, aperitif. Yeah. But yeah, there's a lot of like short stories that don't necessarily correlate to each other. And I posted that question, which was the one you liked the most. And of course, I picked the one with the blind martial artist from Japan who's a complete badass, because I'm just a sucker for that kind of storyline. One of my favorite movies of all time is the Zatoichi series, which is a blind swordsman. Anyway, so I posted that question, and then the next question I posted was, what is your zombie survival guide? So that should...
You know, in the early days of the podcast, we got that question almost every week, and I really never knew what to say, and we just never really answered it.
For what?
People kept saying, like, all the time, 5 or 6 times, what is your zombie contingency plan? And I'm like, I've never put much thought into it. Get a shotgun?
It's just fun to think
run.
About, though. Well, in the context of the book...
Be faster than the slow zombies?
In the context of the books, it's actually really interesting, because you basically have to survive within a community to survive the zombie horde. So what do you do to... Unless you shutter yourself off in a bunker or
something.
Look,
I'd join the zombies. I'd go with the winning team.
Oh, well...
I'd just go with the winners. Next question.
See, that's a pretty good answer.
Oh, okay. Next question. Let's do this one quick, not to get too political. Johnny Ace says... Those of you that like our current president, I do, he says. What is his best quality and what is his worst? I would quickly say, his best quality so far, not best, but just the thing that has separated him from previous administrations so far, is that in his short term as president, he has publicly treated America like a grown-up, which we're not normally used to. And he's also admitted mistakes. I haven't seen him shuffle a lot of blame. He's admitted mistakes. He, when one of his appointees to a key cabinet position ended up having not paid his taxes for like 5 years, he said that was a mistake. My bad. And I appreciate a president that can say my bad. His worst quality is the image that we've built of him as our savior. He's not going to be able to live up to it. And so I anticipate there being massive, massive disappointment that... When he tries to walk on water, he drowns.
I think that's expected just because of the situation that we're in now, but I think that's unfair.
I don't think it's fair. I think it's going to happen. I think in 2 years, when the economy is still in the shitter, people are going to start blaming him.
It's just one of those things. They kind of put him in a losing spot.
He got the worst job in America.
There's no winning in that. Because, I mean, he can't turn things around in 4 or even 8 years. Not completely.
John Dark says, Obama's last day, Jesus returns. They give each other a knowing nod of understanding. I say it's actually going to be a terrorist fist bump. They're going to give daps.
I'd say one of his high qualities is he has a sweet outside jump shot, and he can take it to the hole. if you really like,
if forced to,
if they're in a zone defense,
you have got to stop listening to that radio.
And if he fakes out the outside defense, he could probably take it to the hole. And he's a strong rebounder.
And what's his worst quality then?
Probably
too much showboating.
Well, yeah, is pass distribution. Like, he's not getting the ball to his outside guards. And, I mean, that could be a problem in the long run, because once, if he starts to fatigue.
You've just lost our audience.
If he starts to fatigue.
No, I love it. This is great.
In the latter part of the season, you're going to start seeing, like, you know, taking desperate shots from the outside. You know, shouldn't be taking those threes when he could pass it to the inside. You know, if he can.
John Dark says human turnstile. Barack don't play D.
Dude, Barack plays D. He always D's up.
Oh my God.
He D's up and he takes it to the hole.
Anyway.
That's hilarious. Congratulations. You win the podcast.
Can't believe you.
Denise, you don't even get to answer because that was so good.
I can't believe you went there.
That was so great. Because I don't even know what half that shit means, but that's why it was funny. Because it sounded like Eli did. Was all that legit?
Wait, were we asking about qualities?
I don't know.
We're asking about qualities on here.
I don't
right?
know. I don't know, man.
This is me trying to avoid the political debate.
Somebody says, hang on, because I'm getting called out here. This is from Lord Nikon, which, by the way, I love your name. At Joel, look back at your podcast and tell me you're putting him on the spot. Who are you talking about? I don't understand what you're talking about. I'll look and see if you reply to that, because I have no idea what you mean. Next thing. Or did you have one, Denise? Do you want to do a serious one? Do you want to bring the mood down? Mutant Enemy says, who's your favorite Venture Brothers villain on their cast of, you know, their rogues gallery, as it were?
Man, I really have to start watching that again, honestly. But
like rewatching it, or are there some you haven't seen?
I think I've seen most of, like, the very early episodes, the first season probably. I've seen most, if not all of it, but after that, I just kind of petered off.
That sucks.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, the Monarch is really funny.
Oh, man. You just ate it.
Just kind of... What?
I'll tell you some of the best villains on that show are the background villains that they never really address. Number one, the best villain is, of course, the Sovereign, who is David Bowie. You can't top that.
I haven't even seen that far.
David Bowie is the most evil villain in the Venture Brothers universe.
That's awesome.
He also has his own panda bear. Which he won
what?
In a poker game.
What?
Yeah. What is that? Dr. Girlfriend at Comic-Con?
Yeah. No, it was a friend of mine and her boyfriend.
Oh, really?
Made Wait. That.
Good costumes.
Is there a panda?
No.
No.
They did a Monarch and Dr. Girlfriend.
Her Asian sense was tingling. Pandas wear kitties?
Panda!
So some of the best ones... besides the Sovereign. Here's a few of the names. Bearded Spectre. Girl Hitler. I love Girl Hitler.
Hitler.
Manic 8-Ball. Nat King Cobra. The Zoo Creeper. King Gorilla, who is just a giant gay gorilla that will fuck you in the ass because he's gay.
What?
Monarch was doing a Scared Straight program when he was in prison.
Oh, I have,
like,
seen that one.
What are you laughing at? You think this is funny? Gay. Oh, I'm not gay, but King Gorilla is. King Gorilla, give me a cigarette. I just sold him to you. You're his bitch. They have a guy named Shameface. Let's see. White Noise. Sergeant Hatred's pretty good. His life starts falling apart. His wife is leaving him, and he can't arch because his life is so bad. He's also a convicted sex offender. Truculees. I love Truculees. These are all people that, like, just pop up, like, in the back of one episode. Let's see. You have to pick a song that doesn't have a 40-minute denouement here, Eli. Molotov Cocktees is also a pretty good one.
Oh, yeah, she's pretty cool.
Those are most of them.
Yeah, I have to start watching that again.
But Bowie's definitely my favorite. Dr. Girlfriend's probably a close second. Sheila.
When I first started watching that show, and then she started talking, I'm like, what is going on?
They set it up for like two whole seasons to make you think that she was finally going to reveal herself to be a dude. And then the cliffhanger of season two was that she was going to, she goes, Sheila, oh, this is so hard. You practice this. Monarch, I'm a, and then it cuts, and it's off the air for a year and a half. And then it was nothing. Nothing at all. What's her little Moppets? Like Tim, Tom, and Kevin. Tim, Tom, Kevin. Little evil, murderous Moppets. That's great. Do you have one, Eli? Do you have a favorite? No?
No, I mean, I don't know. You guys are huger fans than I am.
Yeah,
not
Josh
that I'm not a
here.
Fan. But...
Josh is probably the biggest Adventure fan, but he's not here. So there. Moving on. Okay, this is a link from Didoo that says, okay, what this is a link that explains how there are degrees of nerds. For instance, in the category of Batman, not nerdy is going to see The Dark Knight. Slightly nerdy is dressing up as the Joker for Halloween. Fairly nerdy is buying Batman comics other than Year One or Dark Knight Returns. Nerdy, dressing up as the Joker for Halloween, sees a Romero version, not Heath Ledger.
Ooh.
Really nerdy is writing Batman fanfic, and dangerously nerdy is writing Batman fanfic where he has sex with Alfred.
Slash.
Yeah. And there's one of these for each. Star Wars, Harry Potty. Harry Potty.
Potty?
Harry Potty is slash fic for Harry Potter.
Right.
Harry Potter, Lovecraft, television, Star Trek. So I guess the question is, what would you add to this list? You know, from a ranking of not nerdy to dangerously nerdy. What other fandoms have varying degrees of nerditude?
RPG.
Oh, like
LARPing apparently is the bottom. I don't know anything.
Oh, you're going to offend some people. You're going to offend some people. Wait, are you talking about like Japanese RPGs? Like people that dress up as like Final Fantasy characters?
It's not
or?
Just Japanese anymore. Well, no, that's the whole thing. I guess that's the whole spectrum. The LARPing is the live action RPG.
Sure.
Where they beat each other up.
With
There's
swords.
The cosplay, which is the dressing up. Not necessarily the fighting. There's just the RPG, the tabletop gaming.
So that's like the least nerdy of all of that. Tabletop gaming is going to be the most innocuous of all of that.
I guess.
Card gaming, then tabletop, then cosplay, then LARPing.
It's really hard to really rank those. I have no problem with any one of them. I know people in all of those categories. Weirdly enough.
Springhill Jack says Ren Fairs is pretty easy because like the bottom of the rung is going and you're wearing like a Hawaiian shirt and flip-flops and you know, you got your camera and you're like, huzzah! Huzzah, everybody! This is great. This is fun. We're having fun.
I say huzzah.
That doesn't make so, but that doesn't fall in the category of nerdy, non-nerdy.
That's the bottom. That's low.
That's and like then, no
like
nerdy
not
at all.
Nerdy,
that's not
right.
that's unnerdy.
That's a tourist.
The low level.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the bottom. So the next Ren Fair up would be like a partial
no, actually, buy a shirt at the Ren
at
Fair.
The Ren Fair. Getting something at the Ren Fair yeah. that makes you look out of place. For
like
instance,
like a
broadsword.
Yeah.
Or a chainmail armor.
Yes, you're still wearing a Hawaiian shirt, but you
well,
have chainmail on
that
over
seems
it.
Pretty extreme. I would say like a t-shirt that says like Hawkman. You know, or something. It's got
like
a hawk.
Like they're selling hawks? Oh, like not the Hawkman from DC Comics.
No,
not like Green Lantern.
Green Lantern's not there either.
I don't know what you're talking about.
There's always a man with a hawk at
is
a
Is the Martian
fair.
Manhunter there? Oh, a Falconer!
Yeah.
So like the Falconer's t-shirt Falcon that man. He sells afterward the show.
Falcon. It's like I saw Falcon Man at Ren Fair 09.
Okay. That's one step. Or jewelry. Jewelry,
right,
like
or something,
smallish
sure,
jewelry.
Sure.
Right,
one step
something
up.
You're like, oh, that's cute. I'll pick that up on the way out.
Which those describe my first two Ren Fairs.
A crystal.
Sure, yeah, a crystal. Okay, so one step up from that would be big accessory.
Fucking bow and arrow, motherfucker.
Bow and arrow, broadsword, chainmail, a wizard staff.
Axe, Gimli.
All of Gimli. Purchasing him and bring him with you.
A log.
How much are you? I'm $300!
On sale.
Like, half off for the weekend.
But I come with my sword.
No, it's like, well, what accessories do you come
Axe.
With?
Axe.
and my axe.
Well, that's a good deal for $300. Yeah, no, I'll take him. He seems fun. What do you feed him?
Roberts.
Potatoes.
Potatoes.
Rats.
Or if you walked
potatoes
away.
Potatoes, precious.
If you walked away from a Ren Faire with a fucking, like a castle siege or something.
What? Like what is that?
Like a siege machine.
A siege tower? They don't sell those.
No, but they make them. Sure. They make them in the campsites, though.
Yeah, if you were to walk, you're like, "How much you want for that?" It's like $500. I'll put it on, tie it up to my back, and an F-150.
Somewhere in the middle of all of those, before you get to like ultra nerdy, is camping at the Ren Faire, which I also was like the next year, like I went to Ren Faire
overnight.
Overnight drum circles, fire dancers.
I didn't know that was an option.
Oh, it's an option. Weird. Also, the party in the Ren Faire campground just doesn't stop. Sun comes up and it's still going, and if you manage to get sleep, you're lucky.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, that's all cool and everything, but I met the people that travel with the Ren Faire, the
Rennies.
Whatever. The chicks that dress up in the whatever, and you know, I guess they live on the grounds whenever that's happening, mm-hmm. and man, you could smell that.
Mm-hmm.
You could smell that.
Texas Ren Faire, which is the big one here outside of
it's not like rotten Houston. Like, rotten onions.
We actually found out that, okay, so there's like the people's campground, but the performers, well, they have a campground. I mean, they live on the dirt in the Ren Faire.
Right.
And then they go to the next Ren Faire and live on the dirt in the Ren Faire.
And then they come to they play their 90 degree heat of Texas.
Yeah, and they're wearing leather and velvet.
Oh, it's the worst.
Velour. One of the guys, what's his name? It's like Chulu or Cholo the Nubian.
Chode.
What?
No, there's this guy. His name's like Cholo the Nubian or something like that. He's this gigantic black dude, like 19 feet tall, huge like broadsword, chainmail hat. And his job is going to Ren Faires and standing and looking menacing while people take pictures with him. And then he gets tips.
I don't remember ever seeing that guy.
He's frightening. He's also pretty cool. I proposed to my wife at a Ren Faire, actually.
Did you really? Aww.
I got a few months in advance. I hooked up with the guy that did the Dead Bob show.
The what?
It's one of the shows that goes to all the Ren Faires.
Okay.
Dead Bob. He's a skeleton puppet. Anyway, it's the most popular show at Texas Ren Faire.
You never told me this.
Maybe
go on,
not.
Go on.
Anyway, so a few months ahead of time, he always brings people up on the stage and fucks with them for their thing. And so I emailed him ahead of time and asked if he'd be cool with it. And then eventually emailed him again and said what weekend we were going to be there. And then like we go to his, I said it's going to be like the 2:00 show. I'm going to be there.
Okay.
And I run backstage for the 2:00 show and he is nowhere to be found.
Uh-huh.
And I can't explain why I'm gone. And I'm back there for 30 minutes looking for him and I can't find him. And no one's asking me what I'm doing back there, but I'm scared like a security guard's going to make me leave or something.
Uh-huh.
Finally, a minute and a half like before the show starts, he comes running from the staff concession stand.
Dude was smoking some
and he goes,
serious
oh,
weed.
Are you Joel? And I'm like, yeah. Is this your show? I'm like, yeah. Where are you? I was like, I'll be kind of up front. So I go back and sit down and my, at the time, not fiance, was like, what happened? I was like, oh, he was totally backstage and like I met him and got his autograph and everything. We talked for a few minutes. It was awesome. So then when he calls me up on stage to be one of his, like, I'm going to fuck with you people, she thought it was because we'd met, and so he was just going to continue it and fuck with me. And then at the end, the people that he brings up on stage, he turns you into zombies, and you have to go collect cash for him.
Wait, okay, what?
That part of his act is he hypnotizes you, makes you a zombie.
Okay.
And you have to go collect cash. So he gives you these nets, and you go get all his tips.
Okay.
And then whoever brings back the most tips wins. So we all bring back our nets full of tips, which, by the way, he fucking cleans up like giant sacks of money.
I'm sure that's
going to
go down.
Five times a day.
That's going to go down because of the economy.
Yeah. So he actually retired, and he trained three people to take over for him with the same act.
Those people can suck it.
They're licensing his act. It's weird. Anyway.
Are they huge black guys as well?
No. No, he's a little dude. He's a little white dude. So he says that my money sack is the best, and so as a reward, I can request the hand of any maiden in the audience or whatever.
Aww.
And so I, you know, get my at the time girlfriend on stage, and then everyone slowly realizes that it's not fake, and I do the whole on one knee thing and pull out the ring, and I've been planning it for like 6 months, and the rest of the day, everywhere we went, everyone knew us.
Aww.
Like, I guess the entire fair was in that one show, because everywhere we went, everybody was like, oh my god, it's a blah blah blah.
Thank you, Jesus.
So here's the fucked up part.
That's so sweet, Joe.
I've got it on tape.
That's awesome.
The funny thing is, we've seen other people do that a couple of times, where when someone will do that, the performer gives them the sack of money as like a gift.
Oh, shit.
And the whole time in the back of my head, I'm like, I wonder if he's going to do that. He didn't. I was like, no, not that lucky.
He's like, but, I got to pay some rent.
Yeah, I
got to
pay this fucking tent bill. I got some tent rent, bitches.
Yeah, the tents are not cheap.
That's really cute, though.
Not cute anybody.
But it was cool. Yeah, we have a good story.
Fuck does that land on like the scale? That's like ultimate nerd.
It's just under broadsword.
No,
that's
not quite ultimate nerd, because ultimate nerd is if they got married at the Ren Faire, which I know people who have.
I do too.
So
a hand fasting ceremony.
Yes. And you rode off on horses.
Mm-hmm. They have weddings there.
Down Waxahachie.
Yeah.
Jousted with the best man and flew off on a hawk.
Yeah, the ultimate nerd for Ren Faire is there's two. Second to last is full costume regalia, potentially in a party. Just beyond that, next and a half is armor, because it's extremely uncomfortable.
Where does fake accent fall into that?
Anywhere. Because people will do that once they buy the puffy shirt. Uh-huh. They'll be wearing like, summer shorts and flip-flops.
Fake accents.
And then like, I'll take Governor! And like, that's the wrong English accent for this. What? Pip and all that? Cheerio! No, I'm sorry. You're completely wrong.
Why do they...
Forsooth! At the Texas Ren Faire, all staff must stay in character at all times. We went to another one that they've since closed down that was closer here to Dallas. Something with a W. I can't remember the name of it. Anyway, their staff was like, do you want a Diet Pepsi? All right, you want Coke? Okay, it's $5. All right, go away. But
there were no utensils in medieval times.
Hence, there are no utensils at medieval times. Would you like a refill on your Pepsi?
Yeah.
I've never been.
It's terrible. So one half above that is armor, because it's terrifying. It's expensive. It's hot. It's impossible. Okay, ultimate is anthropomorphic beast.
Oh, furries.
It's a different. It's not quite a furry. One example would be there's a guy that goes to Texas Ren Faire every year for the same reason, just to take pictures, who is a centaur. He has a suit, which is horse legs in the front.
Okay.
And then the back of a horse strapped to him, and then the back legs are on wheels. And he walks the entire fucking Ren Faire with like a 150-pound horse attached to him. The worst I ever saw, or at least the most dedicated, I will say, was this guy was a fawn, and he had built a leg rig.
I've seen that guy. We saw that guy at that one con. Yeah.
He had a backwards knee leg rig.
Yes, we did. You have pictures of that guy.
I do.
That made his legs bend. He had giant fur feet,
giant fur pants.
It was
one of those bouncy contraption things that they used to sell at the mall. Like, it was a gimmicky thing, and then he made it into his legs.
I must have been horrified. I don't remember these pictures.
Yeah, it was
you
a
totally
lot.
Took
it just reminds me
of
this all talk, which we need to wrap up. Just reminds me of Step Brothers in that one scene where they show what's his face as a horse. What do they call it? What do they call that? Half horse, half man.
A centaur.
A centaur.
That's what I said.
A centaur and that chick, and they speak in Elvish. He has like a bow and arrow. You have to see it. It's fucking retarded.
What is it from?
Step Brother.
Oh, okay.
There's just a moment where like all worlds collide and a centaur shows up on the screen. You're like, what the fuck is this?
It's pretty funny.
It was good.
It's pretty stupid. But
okay.
Pretty
fun. Let's see. Oh wow, 2:30. Jesus Christ.
I think it was at Acorn.
All right, let's finish up here. I'm gonna read Josh's thing. Where is his question for Josh? Okay. Wadmossy says, given last week's question about Gamefly, is the Shack dead to Josh? And what he means is that Shack News, this gaming forum, got bought by Gamefly, the video game rental service. And Josh responds with like one sentence. Let's see. He says, this is from Josh. The Shack won't be dead to me until the community behind it folds and goes elsewhere. I have no intention of leaving it. Strangely enough, I had lunch today with Steve Gibson. Who's Steve Gibson?
He's the guy who owns Shack.
Oh, okay. So Josh is, he's special.
Well, he knows a lot of people at Gearbox. And he used to be roommates with one of the guys that works there. He's always up there. Or, I mean, not always up there.
Fuck Josh. That's all I'm saying.
He's up there enough.
Fuck Josh. All right, we're done. Man, 2:30. I had no idea it was going to be that long. It's already 11:30. I say...
You're tired.
I say we go break for Battlestar, and then if we still do a post show, it'll be afterwards. If at all.
You just do a... Ah, fuck it. I'll just watch Battlestar at home. Let's just do a post.
Are you serious?
Yeah, dude. It's late.
All right.
11:30.
Well, whatever. Tomorrow's Saturday. All right, we're done. So, Hydrogen Soup Podcast 44. Thanks for hanging out. If you're streaming with us live on Ustream.tv, thanks for listening. If you are listening via some sort of MP3 style download, check out HijinxTheSueStore.com for shirts and prints. Keep an eye on my Twitter feed, Twitter.com/HijinxTheSue, because I'll be selling some original art maybe next week, along with the prints that eventually were made from that art. It's like the sketches for the comics. There's only a few. I hardly ever actually sketch anything, so they're fairly rare. And I'll be announcing that on Twitter. And check out vault.hijinxandsue.com if you want to make a small donation or donation subscription and get access to the post show, desktop wallpapers, and behind-the-scenes art. For myself, Joel, for Eli, and for Denise, and for all you fancy fuckers out there, thanks. And Josh can eat a dick. Because he didn't come.
What
she said.
Well, somebody should be fucking watching.
Oh, I mean, and Christian Bale, thank you for being with us today.
Brought to you by Christian.
He's been quiet for a long time.
And keeping an eye on him. What it's like working with actors. Stay off the fucking set, man.
That guy's got an anger issue.
Why are you trying to
no!
Why are you walking around in my eyeline?
Give me a fucking answer!
Give me a fucking answer!
I ain't the one walking.
I ain't the one walking.
The fuck?
That fucks it. Joker.
I'm fucking serious. He needs to stop walking.
Woo woo! It was awesome, is what it was.